All right. Well, I guess we'll get this show on the road. I'd like to welcome everybody out here today. Somebody want to offer to give an opening prayer on meeting here? Okay.
Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the many blessings that we enjoy. We're thankful for this beautiful weather. Thanks for the opportunity to come to this board meeting. Please bless us that we will make wise decisions, that we will have Thy Spirit to be with us, that we will do what is good for the ranch and for those members that belong to us. And we ask these things humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. All right, as a president, I've never actually shared a meeting like this before, so if I'm, you know, I've been on other boards before, but help me out sometimes if I'm misleading somebody. on the agenda here, our next item on the agenda is the approval of the September board meeting minutes. Somebody in this back of this?
It should be. Yeah, second thing up.
Oh, there's the minutes, second page up. Anybody want to approve those minutes? Is there anything that needs to be brought us about those minutes?
Is it in our packet?
Yes,
it is.
Page back.
Second part in there, Dale.
Oh, okay.
You got it.
Did I think this was set out for a minute?
It was very short.
Hey, Mark?
Yes, sir?
Did you guys call roll? I didn't hear it.
No, I did not have a roll call. Have a roll call.
Mark, I'm at Linus.
Yeah, pardon?
Linus is going to have to make minutes from this recording later on.
Okay.
I'm taking minutes.
Shauna's got her pen working real hard over there.
Oh, somebody, okay. I didn't do it anyway. I don't know who all is there right now.
Okay, I guess, yeah, you wouldn't be able to see everybody, won't you, huh? Roll call, Mark Cram, President.
Jody.
Clarkson.
Paul Brayton.
Nancy Brayton.
Shauna Cox.
Ryan Dudinsky.
Bob Allen.
All right. And Vance via teleconference. All right. Thanks for throwing that in there real quick. On the approval of the minutes, anybody have any things on those minutes for September? Anybody want to make a motion?
I motion that we accept the minutes as they are.
I'll second it.
Got that there, Sean? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Based off the September meeting, we had a change up in the areas of the responsibilities. We had roads and fire protection. That was myself, Mark. We had the ranch activities and finances with Shauna Cox. We have the water resources and management with Dale Clarkson. Agricultural and wildlife, Ben Clarkson. We have the facilities, cabin maintenance, Dave Turley. Legal and public safety, Joey Akers. And the ranch communication, reservations, and web development, Ryan Dudinsky.
We have Ken Lent coming in right now. Stan.
Go ahead. So.
Hey, Dan.
All right. Do we want to go over any of those new areas of responsibility right now? Any questions? Everybody get situated in those things? Everybody get all the information transferred over? I know Jody got me all the information I needed to follow her lead where she's charged up at. I know I got a meeting with Larry a little later on today. Anybody have any other items on that they want to talk about? The areas of responsibility? All right, then let's move on. Next on the item on the agenda is the financial report from Linda and Jody.
I just see that now.
She threw that in on you, huh?
Yeah, she threw that in on you. We handed them out. You've got your profit loss, your balance sheet. And I guess the only thing that I wanted to bring up on that part is, since Linda's not here and we don't know the details as far as our budget for the last 2 years, would it be reasonable to think that we should start the budget conversation next month and give us time to get all of our numbers together? I know I just got the P&Ls this last week. I've looked at them, but I haven't had time to do some analysis of it. So if that's any problem for anybody, it's just the right time to bring that up, to maybe start on the budgets for next month when we have a better, number one, Linda here to tell us what things are more, and then to get some numbers from the last 2 years compiled.
I would second that motion, because this is the first I've seen of this since our last month meeting. I did not get this email. If this came out in email form, I did not receive this.
I didn't receive it either.
No, she didn't email.
Yeah.
That's okay. I would have to agree with Jody then on this one, that since we haven't had a chance to review this, that we table this, table the financial report and talk about our budget next meeting. You might want to second that motion.
I'll second that.
All in favor say aye.
All in favor. Thank you, Dale. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right. Next matter on the agenda is the ranch manager report by Paul. Paul, would you like to go ahead and tell us what's going on with some of the items we got talking about there?
I see photo fences here. Well, designated pastures, numbers per board. I think. I think we're beginning to do a pretty good rotation as far as moving cows. There's two different sections down by headquarters, the well field and then the upper well field, which has had a lot of work done to it to try and keep them separated. On the other side, you got the cattle guard there, which goes out to Deer Springs Point on the BLM allotment and section over that way. A lot of work's been done over there, so we got those sections. You get over into the lower David Dales field up, going up around the Half Moon Reservoir, and then that windmill there, that's another little section that still kind of needs a little bit of work. Some of the fence that goes up into the tree, it goes up, you know, some rocks, and those cows, for whatever reason, just follow the fence line up and around, and some hard boogers. As far as numbers, don't really have a number put on yet, but we are getting a pretty good rotation. The cows that were in Broad Hollow, funny, they started up right below Brent's property, and they would start there, work their way all the way to the airstrip, and then keep going back, just back and forth. Never had to move them. It was pretty awesome. That cattle guard that separates where the drip bench is, going up Meadow Canyon, that's worked out pretty good. Keeping the meadow cows up in the meadow, and then those lower cows down in Broad Hollow. We had a little incident where the cows pushed the gate open, but I put a T-post in there, so they're not getting through there. But like I said, as far as numbering them, I haven't put a number on them yet. If that's something that we'd want to do for the future, I can do that for you.
How much longer are the cattle going to be running on there? I know we got winter fast approaching us, as we can see outside.
I just talked to Doug the other day. He's looking at 2 or 3 weeks, and then we're going to move them right down Deer Springs all the way to the Perea, and then corral them down there, and then he's going to take them. But a couple more weeks. This storm that we just had, all the cows from the meadow tried pushing that fence real hard. They wanted to get out of the meadow, but they couldn't. But they started coming down pretty good. Podunk fences. I know that everybody probably got the email on that. I I'd heard about the cows out in the Podunk, the Brinkerhoff cattle out there, and I called Farrell Brinkerhoff, and they pulled them out, but the next day they came back. I mean, this was beginning of summer, or middle of summer. And I'd call Hal Hamlin, he'd come out there and he'd move them all out, and the next day they'd be right back. I talked to Ben. Ben said that wasn't the fences over there weren't a priority as far as the fences that were on my list. So at the time, I didn't really think of going over there. I walked a little bit of the fence south from the cattle guard. Couldn't find where they were going until later when you sent me that email about where they were getting in up by lot 1 and 2. Which later I came and fixed. When I went up there, I noticed that the cows had been hanging out in the same area. And so I hiked around and tried to find out why they kept coming through and going to this one area, and found that one of the lot owners had been watering them. So that was kind of a huge, you got a field of grass there, and then you have watered cows that will mow a fence down to try and get to that water. So we got the water situated, and that fence, I think if we throw a couple bucks at it, I think that fence from lot 1 and 2 down to the cattle guard, over the year, I don't know how long my fence has been there, but over the years, it's just been a break here, a break there, a break. So you go to pull a fence, pull it once, and it breaks 3 times. So mending that fence and getting it stapled and tied back up is, it's up now. Have you walked it since?
Kind of walked it the last little bit. I know. Every summer, I take our whole property around 1 and 2, and I totally do that one myself.
Well, from lot 1 to the cattle guard, it was, I don't know, half a dozen sections were just down on the ground. And then, combined with those posts, I don't know how long those posts have been there. I had to go through and put in some new T-posts and wire back up. But it's all up. The cows have been out, I think, right? The cows have been out.
I haven't been up there for a week.
I think other than 1 or 2 that were stuck in there, and then I sat and watched them, and I just jumped the cattle guard.
Yeah, I only put out water. I put it one time after I found out they were there. And then that was like only a couple of 100 gallons. So I didn't know what they were doing after. And they're all in my container now. There's nothing out.
Okay. Now, there's just a couple of weeks there where, they can hear running water. They're gonna go after it. But I think talking with Harold Hamlin, working that fence, I think.
Are they willing to help us out a little bit on that one?
Yeah, him and, who was it? Don, what's his name? Don? We spent a couple hours one day walking some of that fence and looking at it, and then I spent the majority of the day walking the cows out with the dog and getting them all out, and then the next day they came back, and I called them and told them they were more than happy to come up and help us move the cows out and work the fence. So I think we have a pretty good relationship with our neighbors as far as, the cattle guards with Joe Bose, we recently had somebody run over the cattle guard that was in the headquarters.
Let's look at this one.
Yeah.
Mark, I still think that we've got 40 miles of fence, and there's none of it. If we did this GPS that somebody put on here, it would take 15 pages of GPS to even tell where they were. And I appreciated your letter that said, if you go and check the fence, we'll fix it.
Yeah.
So right now, that was a silly suggestion. And then for Linda to come along and say, let's do electric fences.
Where were we coming up with power? Yeah.
Everybody come down where wire is down, we'll put electric fence in. A lot of people don't understand the first thing about where we're going or where we've been.
Right.
These are comical suggestions that are unnecessary. And we're looking at thousands and thousands of dollars. I know you've done some fence work, but there's not a fence up there except a half mile that would hold cattle. And we've got to face that one of these days as to what we do on the fencing on the ranch, because the cows will be back in the next days.
Yeah.
There's no way that we can put enough human beings up there to keep the cows out. And so, as a board, we've got to make a tough decision one of these days as to what we do if we want the cows in a specific place. Again, I think Doug's cows have been in improper places about half the summer. Maybe we don't care. A lot of our members have no clue as to what a cow is or where they go or what you do to contain them. But the board is responsible to make that decision as to what we're doing. If Paul and Nancy spent full time on fences in the next 2 years, they wouldn't take care of it. So we're looking at a huge budget item on fencing that has probably got to be addressed, and it's not going to be a comfortable decision at all. And so this is real serious stuff. Our fences are old. Diane built a lot of fences while she was there, but she used undersized posts and improper, so that really didn't do that much good as far as the fencing that she did. But there's thousands of dollars worth of work that's got to be done to contain our cattle and to help the neighbors be good neighbors.
All right. I was just looking at some fence the day before yesterday, moving cows. Right when you get into Deer Springs, you cross the cattle garden, you cross another cattle garden, the driveway into the ranch there. That fence that goes from the cattle garden, the second cattle garden north, the posts, just because of the floods and water coming down, the posts are one of those. That's a lot of the problem that we have is, I think originally they were under cattle posts, now they're little sticks in the ground. But
I agree with Dale, and I didn't even dare put back a response when something when Linda said electric fences. I knew where that was going to go, and I didn't want to throw something out there.
We do have a little solar system that we put up, and it worked for a little bit, but just two wires, and those cows, they figured it out and they trampled it and it didn't work.
Right.
It was kind of silly for her to mention that.
Yeah. So
yeah. I agree with Dale. There's a big issue we have there. It's probably been, I'd put a time back there, like Dale said, it's probably been since back in mine and Betty Jordan's time back in there, when actually we can honestly say we had fencing completely around there. Because there was 100% fence. I can see that then. But that's a long time, many years ago.
The cattlemen have to keep the fences up. At least kept them
up.
Well, I always understood that the rules when I came onto the ranch was that if you want a cattle off your property, it's your responsibility to fence it.
The problem we've had is the cattle are actually breaking down our fences to get on our property feet because they like what's on our side instead of theirs.
Well, yeah, you got two
and here. The rule was that if you want a cattle off your property, you fence your property.
That's what he's saying. The ranch, okay, we have the ranch,
right?
8,000 acres, and breaker hog cattle are crossing BLM.
Right.
Or
so the people whose land is dropped, their property.
But it's their ranch.
It's the ranch property. We're talking about our property, period. Okay.
And we're responsible, I believe, for the BLM fencing that comes onto our BLM lawyers. So it's not just it's not property owners. It's not like Mark's not complaining that they come. He maintains the fences around his property.
Okay.
He's not saying that we should come in and do that. He's saying we need to fix the fence.
Separate.
That separate Deer Springs from everything else.
Well, we're going to spend $50,000 on fences so that we can get $10,000 a year for cattle allotment, that's
good analysis.
But that's okay. Because I think that maybe we need to just say, well, we can't afford to lease the land of cattle.
Well, can I throw something in here when I get stuck?
Sure, go ahead.
Now, somebody just said that at BLM, that lessees or allotment holders, we were required to maintain a fence. Well, aren't the breaker hops required to do the same?
Yes.
Okay. Like a 50-50 kind of thing might need to happen here.
That's what I've been asking all along. Is why they're the ones pushing all the cattle over, say, on the east side of our allotment, period. Why don't they maintain that fence just as much as we do? Well, they're ones running cattle. They're supposed to stay off of our property. They've been profiting because they've been grazing on our property. So that's why I
think. Now, I realize it seems a little one-sided, but that argument can be made that if we share a common border, maybe we should think, trying to work. I mean, when we talk to them, have we ever actually worked with them on stuff?
That's what Paul is stating. This is they're willing to. They come and help push the cattle back off of there, but I don't think I've ever heard a report of Breaker Hoff or Hamlin actually get out there fixing fences, have they?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think there needs to be a big effort.
You guys know, it just jumped out at me when you said that, part of our lease responsibilities is to, if we had cattle there, we'd be required to keep them off Breaker Hoff and vice versa. Mm-hmm.
True.
We probably wouldn't be running any of longhorns up in the Podunk area. Is that correct?
We used to run cattle over there for a while years ago.
I mean, I was just looking at it. There's no association property over there, so it'd probably be
Lot 1 is the only association. They're all the area between that all the way over to, to the center of the ranch. I mean, it's all fenced in. That used to be one central big grave area.
So, question: How long is the stretch between the association land, Lot 1, and where Brinkenhoppers or whatever their name is, cattle come through? How much of a stretch of fencing are we talking about?
The fence that there's a section of fence that goes like right here. And this road right here goes along the property lines up this way, and then it comes down out about right here. And we're only talking about that little section of fence.
About two, three, four. Is that the only thing we have on the ranch itself that has this issue? Because everything else is hunt cattle.
No. There's so much fence.
Between other entities outside of DSR.
Just on the BLM allotment.
Okay. So that would be the most critical to kind of do.
There's cattle going right out this wash from.
They come in. And they dump the cattle there at the pens. You know where I'm talking about, where the big water crop is?
Yeah.
They're out there today. But the trouble is, half the time, they start going up Lick Wash and they end up right. In our meadow.
Yeah, and that wash down there, that fence has been gone there for a couple of years.
Well, I fixed it last year, and I fixed it again this year.
But there is no fence where they come up,
right?
Yeah.
We get big rain, there goes the fence.
They're all there today.
Well, they're all Brinkerhoff, Cal?
Hamlin.
Breaker Hoff, Al Hamlin, and I think there's some dogs brought up
here. To expedite the thing, Mark, somebody should draw the map, the 40 miles of fence on the ranch. I think everybody would be shocked to know, for instance, of Johnny Brown. We've got a fence that all the way to the north, up to the forest boundary, and down past the White Dam to keep Hamlin's cattle out of that dry valley area. There's 10 miles of fence over on that side that I'd say most everybody has not even seen it.
Right.
Who's going to draw the map?
Well, I have a huge map, that map that Ben gave me. It shows the allotment fence. It shows all the Deer Springs fence. Maybe I should bring that in for everybody to see.
Right. I don't know what it shows and what it doesn't.
Why don't you bring it home?
But the fencing, and again, the communication.
Yeah.
I don't know what you know or what somebody else knows about the fencing and the problems that's there, but it's real.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time with the fences in the meadow, or the fences in the well field, the fences to keep them from coming back from deer springs, you know, from out on that allotment there. The Half Moon Reservoir, that fence that separates that. You know, a lot of fences need a lot of attention.
The main reason you guys are here is to talk about fences?
No.
They want to warm up a little bit today.
Bob Becker and Lee Beller showed up.
There's absolutely no fence to keep the cattle from coming up from Lake Wash, and they always come up from Lake Wash.
Oh, no, the fence right there is back in the tree. It's there.
It is? It's down there.
No.
Well, they get up there.
Oh, yeah. There's a separation fence from Lake Wash that goes up that way, and then halfway into the wash, it cuts back.
Johnny Brown Road.
Yeah, that area down the past.
And one that's out there now doesn't even have a secure tape. So I have no idea what
kind of brand on it.
I know there's a stuff in the stock here that says time needed for the repairs. We know it's going to be a big undertaking.
I think, you know, we spent a little over $7,000 this year up in the meadow. I think
that was on one little section.
If we continue, I mean, with little sections like that, I'm not saying hire out Taylor Button to do it. I think if we spent $600 on an auger that we could put on the back of the Kubota, I think we can get a lot more use out of the Kubota that way.
Where is our auger?
There was an auger there.
I repost at the ranch. Was up by hand.
We used to punch miles in that type of auger. We had
there used to be a ton of stuff at the ranch that's not there anymore.
Sure.
I know that we used to go through. The people that were here when I first came here, she used to go through three postal vendors a year. She actually wear them out. I mean, and I bought them before, and then
she was a little. You talked
about
Diane?
Diane, yeah. I mean, it was all done by hand at the last place.
I think
we're going to do a lot of this, it's probably based in that. Postal digger to go back to the floor or something like that.
Well, that's some of that's going to roll into an item I want to talk about a little later on too. But well,
that can go under budget, budget items.
The idea on the cattle guard for Joe Blase. What's going on there? He's willing to help pick some of these.
He's a certified welder. And since then, I mean, it's been sitting at headquarters there across from the dump trailer. And somebody ran it over.
Mark, on that, it's been there in the way for 2 years. I think it's strictly our fault for allowing it to be there in the yard for 2 years. It's been told to move month after month after month. And it should have been moved.
Is it the cattle guard?
I noticed it again when I was in there yesterday. It's a half-built cattle guard, a bunch of pile of pipe, but it's been in the way for 2 years, maybe three. And we've got to change some of those things. Let me suggest on the agenda, and I don't want to make people mad, but I think it's inconvenient for everybody to be here this early in the morning.
I second that.
To do nothing. And we're doing nothing on most of these items. Let me just use as an example. Joe Bose, I don't think there's going to do anything. He's a welder. He's talked about it for over a year. This has been on our agenda for over a year.
He didn't want to do it in the summer heat.
And he won't do it otherwise.
And he was waiting until he retired. And he was waiting until he retired. I remember hearing that.
He's retired. But, you know, his interest in to be clearing an old cam guard. I don't think it's going to happen.
Did we ask him that recently?
Yeah, he's willing to do it.
I thought that was in like last 3 months that he would.
Well, and just to your comment about moving it, I was never told to move it. The reason why it's there is because the welder's at the headquarters there, and the generator that we use is at headquarters there.
Well, then you know where it was in front of the store also.
And in fact, the reason it's never finished is the fact that we've never had the right equipment. I mean, we've had a welder and we've had a generator, but the generator's not enough to really produce the weld that we need to weld. I mean, so when you sit at it and you start welding on it, it's right. Like
round in the wind. Wow.
Listen, I appreciate the fact that it probably can't be done. And
that's right.
But we're not making the right decisions to go ahead and do that, and it stays on our agenda month after month. And it's everybody inconvenienced to come to a meeting to regurgitate some things that we haven't done or we're not going to do.
Does Joe have a welder? Is he planning on bringing one?
Oh, yeah.
But with hoping it has to be moved up actually, the welder we have is Joe's. People don't realize that. The welder that's up in the well house is Joe's. That's the only one heavy enough. Everyone has to, stuff has to be moved up to the well house area so it can be welded off the generator up there. Otherwise, we don't have strong enough welder to provide the electricity for it.
Well, and I'm not being critical of Joe. I know how much he and his wife have done over the years. I'm critical of us as a board. On page 2, I went down in the left-hand margin on page 2 and put 0 beside almost every line. They've been there. Their friends have been on there for months. And as a board, as a new board, I'd like to suggest that we streamline our agenda, we decide what we're going to do, and we get it done instead of wasting paper for the next 12 months, you know, listing the same thing.
I agree with that.
So if you look at these, and you go down through yourself and put zeros or a percentage, as to what we've done. So it looks like we're doing things. It looks like we've got a beautiful agenda. But I think that as a board, we should be seriously criticized for keeping the same silly things on there that we're not doing or not going to do anything about.
Well, let's use today as a cleanup day, and we'll go through them line by line and the rest.
Well, on the cattle guards, outside of an item I wanted to bring up, not knowing about that particular cattle guard, I've been paying attention to all the other cattle guards over the ranch. They're all filled in. We need to get that tractor in there and lift those cattle guards up and make them so they're actually cattle guards again. They're roadways. They're not cattle guards.
Which cattle guards are we talking about?
Majority of them.
Like the ones on the county road?
Yeah.
Can't touch those.
Can't touch them?
Nope, I've already asked them.
But as a result, the county, you know, it's on here about the county pulling that one out.
Two of them.
Kurt Harris, and they have anything.
Oh, I'm on the road, so I'll find out what we can do about that.
There's on county road, the county takes care of it, they have a tractor.
Well, they weren't planning to, but they might now.
The one down by Brent Robinson's little place there, it goes to.
Yeah. Right, and that's why when I saw the word cattle guard come up there, that's why I wanted to bring that up attention. I didn't know we can.
I've talked with Carl here. He works partly on roads about getting those cattle guards, the two cattle guards, taken care of. Because the cows just go right.
Yeah, I noticed that when I was driving across them, I said, these aren't cattle guards.
Right.
These are highways.
And three, maybe four range cattle signs. Just for liability as far as cattle on the ranch. You come off that hill down into Deer Springs, and now the cows are right there. You know, some of those cows are flat. You can't see them at night. People do 50 miles an hour right there. It kind of stinks to hit one of those cows.
Would the signs, would that be on Hunt?
No, that's a count. I've already asked. I told them that the ranch would buy the signs and put them up if they let us. They said, no, we need to take care of that.
Please.
Just want to let you know, over in Podunk, he and I have cleaned up lifted the cattle guard with the backhoe and cleaned them out at least three times.
Thank you very, very much.
And but the trouble is, the cattle will walk. But get this, have you ever seen a cow jump a cattle
guard? Yes.
They were not only jumping, but they were walking across, and it was 2 feet deep down there to get to work.
Yes.
Never seen them do that before. Yeah. Without breaking away.
You're taking gymnastics.
Well, on this issue on the cattle guard that's sitting there now, I'm headed up there today. You can help me throw it on my trailer. I will get it welded out and bring it back out for my next trip up. Should be in 2-3 weeks or 3 or 4 weeks. By next board meeting for sure.
What's happened is the I-beams are all bent up, the pipe's a mess.
Okay, I'm just offering it out there, and I have a full service shop in Vegas, and I'd address it.
Very good.
I think with some new I-beams, it could be fixed.
Well, why don't we later on today, maybe I swing by and let's take a quick look at that together.
Yeah.
And see if it's worth throwing back on my trailer.
The problem I had was the reason why it's not that I bought it and bought it and bought it. It was right in front of Comfort Stop forever. Is trying to get a round pipe welded to an I-beam. The way it's sitting with the equipment that we had, it's almost nearly impossible. I tried.
But all right. I'm not being critical of you. I'm critical that it's been on the dumb agenda for over a month. Right. I mean, over a year.
Right.
And the same thing is true, Bart. Look at that item. We have fencing maps designated as property. Pasture number. We still haven't done that. The discussion on GPS, which is a joke. Estimated supplies, time needed, etc. We've spent now a half hour of our good time on something that really shouldn't have even been on the agenda. Somebody should have made a report, and we could vote on it, go for it. And we're not doing our homework on some of these things, and time is pretty precious here tonight.
Yes, I agree.
I'm thinking on the podunk fences. The way to move forward on this is, number one, find out the length of fencing that we're going to need to fix that. So I figure, from hearing you people talk, that is the most critical right now, that borders the BLM from those other private cattle coming over. I think GPS coordinates would be good to find out the length of this, how much fencing that we will need. It's always handy. But if you can estimate to see how much, and then we can figure out how much it will cost, and then make it for part of the budget talks next month. But without knowing how long that is and how much we need, how can we make an adequate budget?
There's 40 miles of fence.
No, I'm just talking that one little stretch.
I don't think that's a priority.
Let me skip it. I'm going to agree with Dale 100% on this one. And, you know, we only got a couple of weeks left. We're going to deal with this cattle situation this year. I agree. Let's table this issue. That's something that winter's going to break down more fence line anyways. Okay? I say we pull this off of our agenda for right now, and we do need to just set it up to get something set up in our budget for fencing, and then when springtime comes, we start looking into this issue seriously and not wasting, like Bill said, our precious time right now. Anybody want to second that motion?
I think motion.
Is that a motion? I don't make that a motion.
Okay.
I'll second.
And you'll still get the map for the...
I'd still like to look at that map.
Yeah, I'd like to look at that map, too.
Hang it in my bedroom.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So I'll go out there
after the meeting. Pull up.
All right. Let's move on the cattle guard issue. Like I said, I'll be there later on today. I'll look at that with you. And if I see it's worth doing something with, I'll throw it on my trailer, haul it back, and then I'll communicate with the board about what it looks like and see what they wish to do at that point. Is it worth resurrecting or not?
Either that or lift it up and put it over in the boneyard someplace and get down the front yard.
Yeah. Now it's in pieces. It did. Well, I wouldn't lift it, so I had to drag it kind of where it was.
Okay. All right, let's move on. Cattle guards to get cleaned out. We talked about that one. I'll talk to them, see if I can start putting some pressure on them. Cement culverts. What's the deal? Has that been on the agenda for forever?
For a year. It's been on there
for
forever. But there's been talk about doing, working on that road from Crawford over to Johnny Brown and putting those down in there. What's that road for? The road that goes from like lot 104 over.
The burn area?
We talked about we talked about erosion, but we've also talked about going out and blading and taking care of that road
this is an action item. The priority, it says here, states that we need to do something with the garden cabin. Move the garden. It says action items, move old cement culverts into cut a stop in the erosion. And then it says, number one, the priority is near the garden cabin. Number two, in the well field.
Yeah.
Number three, going by the hidden reservoir. And the road from Metal Canyon to Johnny Brown, and the other in the ditch where the organic trash is being dumped.
Well, I put them in all three places.
Is there a ditch where the organic
trash is being dumped? Do we have these?
Yeah, they're broken. Yeah. And they've been on here, and I've said the same thing. If you want to waste them and bury them, that's fine. They're not good for any kind of erosion control. They won't work as far as any kind of erosion control. So we can dump them in the hole there and bury them and have them out of sight. Some of them can be trimmed up and used as culverts if we use a little creativity. They have broken in, so you've got to put a patch in a piece of concrete over the top of them. But in the hidden reservoir is critical. Now we've got those big culverts. If the ranch gets title to them, they would be easy to use, and but the
that's why I haven't moved them, because there's talk about
where are they setting at right now?
They're setting
outside the fence on the south side.
Yeah, well, okay. Headquarters and headquarters there. Mm-hmm. Right when you first pull in, it kind of
down the old storage area, kind of area thing there. Mm-hmm.
You know,
with
all the equipment that's lined up.
Like
going down to the creek.
Yeah, the old storage. I feel the old storage area.
You know, I've lifted one to make sure that the Kubota can lift it, and it can lift it. And I parked the old button truck there. You know, if we wanted to move several of them out to somewhere else, but you know, there was talk about throwing them in the creek or taking them out and using them. So you know, there's all this.
Well, I think we need to make a move on that. If they're damaged and can't be used, let's get them in for erosion control. Just dump them in the creek somewhere where they're going to be useful.
There's a couple of them that are that way, but I think we could use a few of them.
Okay, let's make a decision where to use them.
Have the road gone off because the water got in between the two culverts and it dropped the second one. And so Brent and I are going to have to go out there next week or we're going to lose that road. But half the road's gone now, there's a big bone on it. But yeah, I agree. I don't, if we do use these, then you really have some work done on them to make sure they seal up right.
Are they worth fixing to get them done, to use them? Are they that damaged up that we should do them, or should we?
Some of them are pretty beat up.
Larry got his concrete saw repaired so he could trim the ends of them and make them fit together. But he's kind of losing interest in some of our...
Well, I think a lot of people are going to lose interest if we have all these things just being tabled and not being performed, not being nothing being moved on it. And that's why I think we do. You're right, Bill. We need to get this new board needs to step up here. We need to start moving on.
Okay, so let's make a decision. If you're going to break up the old ones, where are you going to bury them?
Well, you can't break them up. It costs you more to break them up than push them over into the wash behind this.
So do we want to just push them into the wash and bury them so they're out of sight?
I don't think so.
We don't want to put them. That's a, I mean, we don't have a clue where we want to put them. If they're not, we're
put them up. We want to give one up the hidden reservoir. And these other areas, right?
We should talk about the damaged ones that we just
had. Yeah, the damaged ones. What are we doing with the old damaged ones that we can't use?
I think a decision needs to be made on site which one's damaged, which one isn't. And pick them up and move them and put them in place and finalize something.
And who's going to make that decision?
I'll go look up. I'll look up there a little later on today. I'll be up there later on today. I just got to load stuff off the trailer here.
So Mark and Paul, you're going to make the decision as to who's going to, but which ones you're going to keep or get rid of.
Sure, unless somebody else wants to be up there also.
What time?
Well, I got to get some. I got to figure out how I'm going to get all stuff off my trailer here now. Then I'm going that way.
Afternoon.
Yeah. All right, then let's.
And Ryan will be
there. Let's move on. Let's move on here. Yes,
we need. Table that for this board meeting.
Huh?
I think just table that for this board.
Table that. Okay, I agree.
If any of them get totaled at that point, we collectively agree that they're not worth restoring. Where do you want us to put him so he can make some headway on this situation before the next meeting? So he can pull up another meeting.
We should take a walk out the garden cabin. You look out in front of the garden cabin. I don't know. Okay, around the corner, down the wash, up the wash, there's a big washout that I can take.
Okay, let's do this. You three go out there today, make the decision of what to do with them, and tell Paul where to put it.
Okay.
All right. My motion. We go ahead and accept Shauna's comments on that one.
And then the government will rediscuss next month.
And we'll table anything else left over for the next meeting.
And now, I mean, we have a boneyard now. We in fine, right? Where all those culprits are. All the culprits that just came in.
The big new culprit.
Yeah. Let's say I throw the ones away that we throw away, and the ones that we save, I put over there somewhere.
Yeah,
I want to move them
more than one. You know, right? Does that hurt them? Getting to move them from the headquarters
in there and then second.
Oh, okay. All right.
Let's move on.
The improvements at headquarters, CR door. What's CR?
CR. I have no idea what CR doors are. Do you know what a CR door is?
Yeah. Does anybody know with all these spent from the last previous meetings, CR doors?
How about a cabin restoring doors? I don't know.
They were going to spend $600 to buy new doors for cabin 6. Was that ever done?
We spent $800 on doors that don't fit anything.
And that
they will not take back.
So they will not take back. We're doing that kind of thing that's really damaging to our whole program.
Wow. Who ordered those doors? Who measured them?
It was Mike Duvall that ordered them. And what I wanted was pre-hung doors. What I got was just slabs. And it was just...
I think she said they ordered pre-hung doors, too.
I think the paper doesn't say pre-hung. It just says slabs. But what we have now is 6 doors. 5 of them with windows, 1 of them solid, and they're sitting in the container. They're not hung.
Now, who puts in doors?
I was going to do it.
Yeah, if they're pretty hung.
My suggestion was, and this was originally what I wanted to do, was go to the Home Depot and $250 pretty hung, bought a beam room, it's in there, it's done.
Is that for all 6 doors?
Well, can we sell the doors on Craigslist or whatever you call them?
Okay. We need to find some way to move these. If they will not work for us, we need to get rid of them, number one, and see if we can regain some money back out of them.
How long have we had these doors? How long has this been? Cable. Why can't we return it? I guess is my obvious question.
They're custom order.
But Kathy or Mike made that order. Yeah. And if Kathy or Mike get on that phone and say, I told you and fight a little bit more for that. Did they call in?
I called in. The guy said, the salesman said, there's no way because it was
okay.
Somebody needs to go over that salesman's head.
Yeah. Let me talk to Kathy and Mike, because one of the two, the one that would personally talk to the salesman would be the one to call. So I'll call them and see if they can address that with them.
Okay, Jody's going to follow up on that one. So we're moving on something here. Next item, put linseed oil on top of the posts of the rails before winter.
I have the linseed oil and the sprayer, and well, I just ordered it, and I got it yesterday.
So you think you're going to be able to get that?
That's ready to go, yeah.
Is it true, Paul, that you would not have had time during the last 4 or 5 months? You know, you didn't build this nice fence in the spring. So for 4 or 5 months, you have not got the linseed oil on there, so it's finalized. I think you're going to be very crowded now with wet winter on top of us.
I could have, but the guy that sold me the wood said to let it kind of set for a little bit and color, and then spray it right before winter.
Okay, you need to make sure you follow through, Ron. Right? Get this thing on it. We don't want to lose that wood here. We already got winter right on us now. Barn stabilization. Are we moving right along here? Barn stabilization?
That was Brett Fulmer. We talked about replacing some of the corner posts, and I don't know what he's got planned on that. I know he was getting the posts from Buttons.
Did we ever... Were we talking wood posts?
He's got some cut on our assignment. I don't know. We're kind of waiting to get a crew. I mean, you can't do this grant to all the others. We got to have a whole crew out there to do it.
I think we're probably going to have a situation where I'm hoping it holds up for this winter, because I don't see it happening right now before we get too much time in here. I suggest we just table this till spring. Anybody want to second that motion? Because it ain't going to, I think we're wasting time on that. And if it ain't happening by now, we ain't going to happen in the next month or two, because we're going to be stocked in this winter here. Paint and upper cabins, they're getting closed out right now, or getting ready to close down, right?
I'd like to put that on a budget.
That's
fine.
So, cabins are zero, G is a zero.
G is not a zero, G is a budget item for this year.
Okay. Mowing the fields?
I've been mowing the fields. I had the Kubota up up in the meadow. And I had mowed from the ditch on the west side, where all those willows are, to as far as I could without getting the Kubota stuff into the meadow. I don't know, a couple acres or so. Have you been up there recently and looked at it?
Again, to have those there for 2 years and not getting them mowed.
Right. I agree. And that's something I want to bring up here as soon as we can hopefully get through the rest of this here.
I noticed that you had mowed part of runoff. You've got sunflowers on that one little field the last day or two.
Half of that field.
How many hours would you say has been put on the Kubota this year?
From wintertime to now?
Yes. I mean, there was a schedule given, and I wrote to Kathy and asked her to send us a copy of what the Kubota and blade reading was in the spring, and then see what it is now, so we know how many hours the Kubota has been used, how many hours the blade has been used during a year. That would be
very, very helpful to know.
Is to we've got some good equipment, and our fuel bills.
So I can tell you, it's about 125 hours.
For the Kubota. And do you know all the blade?
I'd have to look at it again.
So, that's a couple weeks' work.
For a piece of expensive equipment we got sitting there.
And there's more than just equipment operating that I do around the ranch. You guys know.
Well, I understand that, and Paul. I want to address that issue a little later on. Speaking.
The time spent on like the boat and the other have been actually repair times as well. I mean,
true.
Yeah, there's. Do you think they're not getting any newer?
Right.
As they go along, and so
the reason why we more brush hog didn't get done is the turnbuckle on the 3-point broke. And the threads got stripped. And Kubota has a thing that you can't just go buy a new one or fix it. You actually have to buy a new one. And I took it into Danny Buttons, and it was at Danny Buttons for 2 weeks before I got it back, and it still wasn't fixed right. The reason I didn't just go buy a new one is because it was $250.
And the repair was how much?
I just whatever it cost to thread it, to rethread it.
He did the repair.
There was a thought of cutting the bolt off and welding the new one on, and I told Danny, I said, it's just going to break. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have to buy a new one. So I just waited and threaded it.
Paul, the reason for bringing some of these things up is the board that's next year needs to know how expensive some of these things are and what time consumption is.
How much would it cost, just so the board knows, how much would it cost to contract it out to somebody else to do it?
So,
the ranch owns the equipment.
That's true.
Okay, and we pay a few thousand dollars to keep them running every year.
Yep.
And if you were to contract that out to somebody else, it would cost 10 times that much.
Yep.
So I think your thought of selling the equipment is ridiculous. I personally would love to just sit on equipment all day. I would. But I have a million other things to do. I have walked miles of fence. I've fixed 100 broken pipes. You know, there's thousands of things that I do in a week. And equipment time, I'm sorry, okay, isn't on there.
The board's in, they need to have a second mandate there to do all the things that needs to be done.
Can we afford that?
Well, can we afford to keep our liability insurance? No. There's some scary things that we're looking at. Can we afford to keep our liability insurance or our fire insurance? Or do we say, well, it's not going to burn down this next year? And that's kind of the same as it is on some of these maintenance items. We have not done maintenance, you know, for economic reasons. But I think the board has got to say,
maybe we need to do that $2,000 for a lot of time assessment for everybody and get these things done.
Something is about to happen.
The item that I keep saying I want to bring up a little later, that Dale's just kind of pounding on right now a little bit, is this. I don't know, Paul, when you're hired in, is there a job description that you're following, or you knew what you're going to be doing per se?
They kind of told us, and we have kind of something written down, but a lot of things have changed with passports, and a lot of my areas of focus have changed, and I'm sure it's going to continue to change with this new board.
I think every time the board really needs to do it.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, that's my thought.
One for several years, you know.
Yeah, my thought when I was coming into the situation was, I would like Paul to write down what you think your job description is, and submit it to us as the board. Of what you think you're supposed to be doing in here, okay, and then let us look at that and critique a little bit from that and say, well, maybe we're not doing here, we're doing here. I know for a fact what the ranch manager's job is, what it used to entail. The other day when we were up there, when we had the last month's meeting, you asked me after everybody left, you says, I need to get firewood. I'm out of firewood. Well, I know for a fact that I didn't move anywhere across the property, that I didn't have a saw with me, that I was always cutting wherever I was going. I was going up the cabin to fix the pipe or find out whether the well wasn't pumping water. I always had a saw with me. Wherever we stopped, we saw wood. We was cutting the fence posts. We cut wood. We always had something going. We made full turn of every use of all of our time while we were there. We didn't have issues. We had stocked probably at least a good quart of wood at every cabin facility at all times, including the ranch house. And to find out that you don't have any firewood set up and you're, now winter's coming on, you know, I'm going to have to shut down for a couple of days. Well, he said we need to get firewood. I'm out.
Need to get more firewood.
Yeah.
He said I was out.
Can I say something about that, too? I don't think it's Paul's responsibility to make up a list of what he thinks is just. I think the board should do that.
Well, I think it'd be helpful to say what he knows he's supposed to be doing.
I think that's kind of like wasting a little bit of time, because it's like the board needs to set forth what we want to have done from the ranch managers, and then sit with Paul and say, hey, here's what we think, or, you know, whoever...
I'm not trying to pick on Paul's situation here. Yeah.
If it's broken, I gotta fix it. If it's green, I gotta water. If it's not running, I gotta get it running. If it's not painted, I gotta paint it. If it needs to be welded, I gotta weld it. I can go on and on. Everything that needs to be done, I try and do. You know, there was a talk about being a good host. I think it's turned a lot of members towards the ranch as far as, hey, when they come into the ranch, you know, whether I'm there or not, they're welcomed. You know, there was talk about wasting time. Yeah, who knows? I, you know, it would be good to know what...
Maybe by you saying what you think you're supposed to be doing, maybe we could say there's maybe some areas that we're... shouldn't be focusing time on. Maybe spend some more time on that area.
It is called priority.
Priority. Okay. Mm-hmm. Job description, yeah. Priority.
Now, the board, because we keep looking at the portfolio.
Yeah, I can. Okay. It's not.
We need to do this and then make the list, and then we prioritize it and say this one is what we think is most important, and then he can change, then he knows what we think is the most important all the way down. Because
every month, it's, you know, at the end of the meeting, I'm like, hey, is this what I, you know,
is that what you want me to do?
I've been talking with Ben, and, you know, that's kind of on the next thing there is reporting. I've been reporting to Ben. He's been kind of out lately, but when he gets back, you know, there'll be a daily email to him. And there for a while, Ben and I would meet on a Wednesday. With his schedule, it kind of got conflicted in my schedule. But asking the board, you know, I come to meetings, and there's 1,000 things in a board meeting that I should be doing, right? We agree?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the meeting, I say, hey, fencing, you know, what areas, brush hogging, what areas, you know, and that's kind of where I focus. But then I get back to the ranch, and I can't run the Kubota. So, you know, I'm off doing fences again. And then I go to a next board meeting. Hey, how come, you know, you didn't get more brush hogging then? But I did a lot of fences. You know, it's those kinds of things. But reporting to Ben, and if you have any questions, you know, talk to Ben or talk to, you know, whoever I'm reporting to. I think there has to be a little more involvement, because you don't know. You don't know. You don't know.
I think to go along with that, at one time there was to be, I think you even made some daily reports or some weekly reports, or Kathy was going to get some reports, or Ben was going to get some reports, and that's been going on for 2 years. And I don't know if they got reports, or if they used the reports, or if they knew what the reports even said, or whether there was any follow-through between I fixed the fence. Well, did that take 30 minutes or 3 days? And I think that's the disconnect, that what Kathy Duvall, no criticism of her, but she hasn't got a clue as to what running a cattle ranch or building fences is. And so we're really disjointed on some of these things, and I think you're feeling a lot of the criticism that's part of just the confusion. And I don't know whether it's worked out good for you to email reports in as to what you did on a particular day.
Email a daily report is perfect for me.
I would have no problem with that. I was just, you know.
He was doing that.
Yeah.
To who?
It was on the website. He was emailed out on the website. Oh, well, to the board members.
I was going to say, I don't think it should go to the website. I think it should be
the board. I don't know, but it should be on the website.
No. Not my and answer. I'm talking about the board members. I don't mean board. Sorry. My terminology. Remember, I don't mean to everybody. It was just to the board members.
You need to email. Okay.
Well, what I think works best is, like I was emailing Kathy, and if I... You know, I thought Ben said to report to him. So if I reported to Ben every day, if he had any question about what's going on out there, or if Ben had any question on what I should do, He's kind of the middle guy, and it used to be Brent, and it was Kathy, you know, with the new board now. But a daily email. What I did during the day, and
I would
write questions down, and I would never get an answer. So it was almost like
he used to email all the time. What do you want me to do? I mean, yeah, all the time. This is what I did. What do you want me to do about this situation? Never got an answer.
Okay, well, we are faced with a new board right now, and I do want to make some things move forward at this board.
That would be nice.
Okay, I do want to get some things going forward. I don't know what. Ben, his schedule is a prime thing to maybe deal with. I know he's got a lot of stuff going on right now.
What really works with Ben is I would email every day, and when he would glance over it, and when I met with him on a Wednesday, just to, you know, talk for a few minutes.
Would you come to the town?
Yeah. Wednesday, we usually take like a Wednesday afternoon and a Sunday off. Church on Sunday, and then my kids have scouts and activity days for my daughter.
That Wednesday.
So I would meet with Ben, and Ben would know exactly what I did during the week. Ben was available most of the time. Sometimes we'd meet at the church because he had scouts too. But
Well, here's the suggestion. I'm just going to throw it out there. Ben being the vice president and all, and that's good too. But Dale, would you mind kind of being like a first-hand response on that? Maybe kind of be like a direct assistant up with me on communicating with a lot of this stuff, and we can push things out and get information out to all the board and so forth on a regular meeting type of schedule? Or
what's wrong with the existing person? Who's emailing now?
Nobody's emailing right now, right?
Well, Vice President, you are in contact.
Yeah, Ben's kind of down right now.
Yeah.
What you're saying is for him to email the board.
No, Ben. And Ben could summarize at the next meeting how he feels he did and if he met the obligations that were set forth by him in writing, and that way there's no confusion.
Well, Mark, I would like to see the reports. I'm out there probably more than anybody else.
I know you are.
And to have a feel as to where Paul is or what he's done, or the tractor's broken down. Because it disturbed me when a tractor sits in one place for 6 weeks.
Maybe that's a good idea, because Dale's the one the most concerned about it, and so maybe the communication needs to be there.
Email the entire board. But Dale, would you communicate with me a little bit more on a basis there, see what's going on? But I would just see everybody.
If you communicate if he communicates with you, why wouldn't he communicate with me?
Yeah,
everything's maybe.
I mean, there's been times where, like when the water is going down the irrigation channel, I've asked you to come by and pick me up and show me how it's done. Never came by. Like communication as far as what you'd like done, I'd like to know. On certain areas.
So you got CC all on stuff like that. Then that way, there's
we'll work on that.
Paul is going to email the board.
Is this a daily or weekly report?
Daily
report.
And I think that'd be great.
And you know, we know you do a lot after your duty time, because you deal a lot with tourist visitors coming up there, and you deal with a lot of people on a social level too up there. Don't forget to put that information in there too. So I know some of those guys can talk to your off longer than I. I'm probably guilty of that.
Your skin becomes the rescue point for we give Paul instructions to tell people, well, I'm sorry, I can't help you. You need to go into town.
Something has to happen there too, and I don't know if we need to. I know we got all the tourists that go to Bryce Canyon go through that way. Everybody thinks that's the way to Bryce.
Yes.
I don't know how we have to rechange that, but I don't know if the county needs to put up a sign that says this is not the correct way to.
Excuse me. They don't read this sign. Do you see the sign at the beginning of the Schooner Pond that says impassable wet?
Yeah, it's been there for 40 years.
No, it's not wet.
It's been there for 40 years.
Oh, and neither is the race. Yeah. If there's mud this deep, it's not wet. So now,
it's just mud.
It's just right.
Yeah.
I
All right. So, I motion we just move on from our all items of E. I think we have pretty much an answer to everything we're working on right now. We're going to improve some communications and so forth.
So Paul's going to email the board daily and reviewed by. Is Ben going to review or Dale's going to review? We're all going to look at it, but who's going to respond to his questions?
Dale can do that until Ben's back in commission.
That's a good idea.
Is that fair?
Why don't you just leave it with Dale?
Because Ben's got the rapport with him now, and
okay.
I think that Dale, you can do it until Ben's back in commission.
All right, moving on then. Roads and fire protection. I got a meeting with Larry right after this about the ATV trails that's parallel to Ranch Road. He's been out of town lately. There's a lot of other stuff going on, and I've got a meeting with him at my place in at noon, so I'll talk to him.
Who's that,
Larry? He's supposed to be up.
He's with the movie crew.
Yes.
And he's not going to meet with you today.
Oh, he changed his mind?
Yeah.
Or because last night he was going to be able to meet at noon.
Well, maybe he still is. I don't.
Yeah, he said he had something to do with the movies today later on. But he said he could meet at noon real quick.
I talked with him last night. He said to tell Mark and Val that I won't meet him.
Okay.
So.
Yes, yeah, so he changed it again. Yeah.
He was going to be with the movie crew.
Yeah. Yeah. Do that. Man versus Wild. We're looking on doing some other stuff in areas close by.
We need to charge more this time. Can we go into that?
I don't know if it's
going to
be here.
Publicity? On the ranch?
I think it's pretty much up to Korea this time.
Oh, okay.
I think Larry's working on a deal out that way.
If it comes on the ranch.
Right.
Vance,
are you awake?
Vance, are you in there?
Yeah, I'm here. I have to get it on
mute. Question three.
Just for my end, so that I can eat for breakfast and slam papers around, you know.
Yes, Lee. There's a,
under the rim.
No, that's not the under the rim trail. Yeah, the metal
right.
The
ATV
called
the ranch road. I don't know.
Oh, the ATV road that we're trying to do for the
fire. Is it for fire? Or
no,
is it
not for fire. It's for activities too, because we're a motorcycle road, and also not for fire, because that's the thing Brent's been working on. But there's a couple things that we have to do before we can finish that trail.
It's for ATVs and snowmobiling to do.
Right. So we'll have an activity.
Road. It just parallels Meadow Canyon Ranch Road.
Yeah.
A
lot of effort for
it.
We have they're cutting it anyway. They have the fire break. So we need to have a special place for
activity.
That's pretty expensive when you've already got Meadow Canyon with it. But, you know,
yeah, is it costing anything to do that?
They're just doing it. It's a volunteer basis thing.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not paying anything to do it. They give us an activity.
Hold on. What? Is there a restroom here?
Yes, right up the stairs. This way.
Thank you.
All right, moving on to ranch activity, Shauna.
Thank you. Well, I'm not doing anything yet. I'll put something out on. Snow, now that we're going to have snow, we didn't get any snow last year. So we were trying to make some sled trails, and we thought actually if you had snowmobiles, that this little road that we're going to do for the ATV and the motorcycle rides to come out, that was part of that to get back in that other area. But so far, we'll put out some signs when we get the sled runs done.
Okay. The next item there was the under the rim trail.
I think we're totally confused on the ATV road, the parallel ranch roads, and the snowmobile trail, and the sled run, and what was even the original suggestions, and what we're doing, who's paying for it, and what it's even necessary. I don't think our our master plan is glued together at all.
Well, there is no set thing, Dell, on these activities. There's no set thing. We have a couple places that we were doing for sled runs. And so it may change because it depends on where the snow's the best or wherever we pack them in. But we've had some really good ones alongside the road, nothing on the road. It costs us nothing. It's just that we go out there. We'll put a sign up wherever the road is, wherever it's good that people want to come and go sledding. We'll make some good runs, and then they can just come and sled after.
Are we going to be liable on that?
It's just for our membership.
Everything we do, we're liable for. Mm-hmm. Here.
We're not making anything that's going to...
It's
just an area so that people that want to come out to the ranch, if they want to drive out there and run their air tubes or something, so we have an idea. You know, where some good runs are for them.
Is it a downhill slope?
Downhill slope. But if they're not, the snowmobiles, of course, because we're not putting them in the same place as the sled runs. And so that's all it is. It's just a place, but we'll try to put some good ones in. But we don't know where the snow's going to be. Last year we couldn't do it. There was no snow. The year before that we had great snow. We had some really good, we had some good places. Just so people would know where to go if they want to go.
Just to keep it safe.
Yeah, just to
keep it safe.
And we'll
not running over water.
Either at the headquarters or we'll put a little sign that says great sled. You know, chew run here.
Then when they come to headquarters.
Yeah, it wouldn't be good.
I agree.
Tell them right where to go. That way they don't go get stuff.
I agree.
Anyway, so that's all it is. It's not costing anybody anything.
That's a good idea. And the ATV trail is not costing anybody anything.
It's not costing anything. So it's not a budget item. We're trying to do everything cheap. I pay for as much as I can. Okay.
Not a budget item. Any further questions on that item before we move on? Then we'll move on then. The end of the rim trail, I need to intervene on that one. I saw your last emails about that the forest thinks somebody from Deer Springs put that in?
No, forest does not think someone put that in. But it looks like it could have been done by someone from Deer Springs.
I wrote that.
And that I didn't want to bring it back up to the Forest Service because the Forest Service was already very angry that someone had done it. So I didn't want to put us in a bad position with the Forest Service. But no, they don't know who did it. They don't think that we did it. They might think, but not say that we did it. But
I think it was from the Department of Interior. Who the hell is Department of Interior? And as soon as they put that trail in there, they put that restroom area and all the horse tie down areas.
Right.
And the trail was graphic as to where it all went. And I remember when they put that in there, somebody took a little dozer through there.
The dozer came later.
So where are we at?
I thought it was a single track trail, and now it's a two track trail. That came later, the two track.
Well, the single track trail was an old horse trail that the Rangers, it's the old Ranger trails,
correct.
What it is.
Correct.
There are blaze marks on the trails. We used to hike as scouts and try to find it and go from point A to point B. But somebody took a dozer through there and made it all from clear over to, I think it was Cannonville?
I'm not sure.
Forest Service did it.
Forest Service did not do that.
Yeah, they did.
Forest Service did not know that they did that.
Well, Forest Service has had probably some, just like the board here, has had some changes over the course of years. That happened, 15 years ago?
Again, we're talking about two different things. There were the old pioneer trails. The Forest Service came in and built a trail back around to Tropic and around to Panguitch, nearly 100 miles, but it's for horses only.
Right.
The issue is somebody has been doing it with an ATV, and the Forest found out that somebody was running an ATV on their horse trail, and they say it looked like somebody had been in there with a piece of equipment to widen the trail so the ATVs could get through, and they didn't want them on there.
And where does that leave the ranch? I mean, does it come through the ranch or is it just alongside the ranch?
Oh, it comes through the ranch.
Yeah.
It goes connect into the town.
You know,
comes up close to
north of the Iron Gate.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Look at the number.
There are signs north of the Iron Gate.
Okay. So from what I understand, it comes up somewhere around Lot 1 up here, and then comes over and hooks in. It's on my map.
No.
Further out.
It goes clear up into Horse Hollow.
Okay. and comes back down through here somewhere and hooks into somewhere down in here.
It's Horse Hollow. It's clear up here on the... It's clear up here and goes up that direction to towards Tropic.
Hey.
Yeah. It drops up over here.
Here we go.
It comes out in the Crawford Canyon at the upper upper cabin, the old homestead. Hamlin Cabin.
Right in the back here. And then right here, and then comes through here, and then comes down, and right here
comes into Crawford.
Crawford West, about around lot 62. And that's the Iron Gate.
No, the Iron Gate. Yeah, he's on the Iron Gate going into north of the...
Of the peak, of Bunyan's Place, right?
Yeah.
So where is it on the...
Down Canyon.
So
it doesn't come in? Yeah. There's Pipeline Canyon coming through here.
Okay, so from the Iron Gate going north, does it
just through here,
tie into that?
Crosses and goes back up.
Does the road coming out of the Iron Gate tie into that road?
Crosses it.
Yeah, it does cross.
So you go up and it crosses over. Where can it cross it? Over by that lot where she's talking about coming in on the north side.
Cross over the old Hamlin log cabin is.
Comes right in there. That's where there's a lot of that bear activity been back in there.
Okay.
I used to track them in there all the time. The thing that came up here was the forest wanted to put, because that's a trailhead there, they wanted to come in here and fix this road, the old road coming into Johnny Brown. This has been washed out about right here, about right there, for a number of years. Okay. The forest wants to make access to that trailhead piece so it'll be more used. And in doing so, they're going to cross my property right here. They wanted to get a right-of-way from us. We asked if we give them right-of-way to come through our property, if they would, number one, fix and maintain this road for us to access. So it's not only so we don't have to just cross this wash going into the lower area by mobs or by leaves, but if we can have that road maintained, because that's been a clay bog for ever since this thing has been established. So we asked them if, in lieu of that, right away, if, number one, they'd put a cattle guard in there and maintain it.
You mean where your gate is?
Yes, where our red gate is. Uh-huh. Green gate, red gate, whatever one it is. And we asked if we would be able to have permission to use to help keep the trees down and rim the stuff down on that trail. And they said, that's a good offer. And they left it at that.
So is that the question that we're trying to get answered? Do we need
to... We wanted to know if we could use that trailhead from the Horse Hollow over into here.
As an ATV trail?
It's all grown in. Yeah, as an ATV trail.
So
we asked for that permission in lieu of granting them a right-of-way through our property. So we're looking at trying to get some of our right-of-way for our property for ranch use for everybody to be able to use this trailhead.
Not in lieu of, in conjunction
with. In conjunction with, there you go. That's fair to yes.
Well, point on that, I worked with the Forest Service for 15 years. They take 10 years to make a change. They have to go through all the public surveys and all that kind of information. But as far as maintaining the road too, I've had permits with them over 3 National Forest Districts. They do not maintain. I'm sorry. They might say that they're going to, but they do not. So I would not count on that too much, even if they say that they will.
They wanted to put, like I said, they built that restroom area gathering point up here. Now they have no way to access it. So these have to come through our place, fix this road, or they come up...
Which
has totally wiped out. That rush wash is totally gone.
If they make that...
Designated Western
Trail. Yes.
A bull rush.
Yeah.
But they haven't touched that in 8 years.
Right.
And usually, you're probably right.
Usually they would maintain the trails every 10 years if they felt it necessary, but 10 years was about the earliest they would ever maintain an Israel. And those were with accesses to trailheads that had facilities as well. So,
yeah, no,
just so we know that.
Nobody that I know of outside of the forest was on access. So you know Shauna was on fixing that trail up there. They are the ones that cut it in there. But it has grown in solid. I know that.
Okay. So do we want, we got to make a decision here. So do we want to go, do we want to go back to the Forest Service and see that? Do you and I want to go there?
I'll go there with you. I'd be glad to go there with you.
Okay, let's do that.
They need access up to that trailhead.
Yeah.
And I would like to find out what it'll take to get access,
okay.
You know.
Let's get together and
okay.
We and I can go do that.
Okay, I want to sit down so on that item.
There's four or five places across there that should be included. For instance, the Forest Service needs, it goes across our private land to get into the old Hamblin cabin. It goes across 75, 74.
Yes.
So they, if any traffic goes in there, they have to use Deer Springs roads. That are private roads.
Yes.
And they should know that. They put a cattle guard and fenced it and done some nice things. Same thing is true over at Johnny Brown. Same thing is true in Pipeline.
Yes.
Across through there. So it really should be kind of a master plan as to what we're trying to do. The other thing, they have been aggravated that ATVs have been using that. I strongly recommend that they open it to ATVs so that the trail can be maintained because
exactly.
It is growing in shut. There's not enough horse traffic or bicycle traffic or hiking to ever keep it. So it's an expensive trail. The only way it will ever be practical for the next 10 years is if they would open that to ATVs for the next 10 years, then have a good trail 10 years from now, and Deer Springs would be enhanced by it.
And they could use that as fire assist in going through the whole.
Well, you know what's going to happen, though, because I saw around that wilderness area. If I don't know if they're going to. Well, let's go ask them.
We'll ask them. I'll go with you, Sean, and we'll.
All right, we'll
you schedule us a meeting sometime, maybe on a, if you can, possibly on a Friday or something. I'd love to come over here and go with you over there and see if we can talk these things over, because it would be a great asset to Deer Springs to have that, I do believe.
It's their headquarters in St. George.
Tangwich. You probably couldn't get a horse up there now.
You can't. No, I guarantee you can't. Unless you know where the trail is really well, you can drive in your sleep. I didn't say drive in your sleep, did I? That's off the record. All right. Any other questions on that one? They said there's more bear activity in that area, in Slide area?
I haven't seen one.
Oh, as I said, it's on the thing. It says, were there monitoring bear activity in Slide and other areas?
We had them, but I haven't seen them.
Paul, have you had any reports of any bear activity or sightings lately?
No.
We haven't for a
year. Clint, last year it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Dale, have you seen anything up in Pipeline?
Yeah, we photographed. There was tracks around my cabin, but there was a kid's photographed a bear over on lot 195. Blonde bear.
Oh, the blondies back down. So yeah, I've seen him up on top.
So
pinks.
Was over on a mudslide canyon before they saw him.
I know, Clint,
3 months ago.
Clint took somebody out that had a tag and got a bear. I don't know where.
Did they?
Yeah.
Because there was someone, my wife was out a couple weeks ago at the lot, and it actually upset her. I might as well talk about it now, and you guys can tell me your opinion on what happened. She was at our lot in the trailer, and she was actually outside getting something out of the car, I believe, and she hears some dogs. And they turned out to be tracking dogs going across our property on our road. Dun, 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 dun. So she's... retreating a little bit to the trailer, not knowing what's going on or not being from the area growing up or anything. And here comes some horseback. Guys on horseback, three guys on horseback. And come trotting through the lot. And she approaches them and then talks to them. And come to find out they were tracking a bear. They pointed out some bear footprints. And she ended up doing a foster cast of them and took them home because her grandson was with her. But the guys left, and then I think it was Larry who came by later that night, rounding up the dogs. And my wife talked to him, and she was a little upset because A, they were going through our private property, and yet I don't know that how that's supposed to go, if we have to accept them or whatnot. But she said that the people who were doing it, no disrespect, but she said that they never introduced themselves or really said, hey, do you mind if we continue on or anything like that? And she did say that if she would have been alone, because she has company with her, that things, she would have been a little bit more defensive on her posture than having several other people with her. And she was not happy when it had, after it happened, after she went back and thought about what had just happened. Because these guys are all, you know, horseback, guns, dogs.
Ever got their name?
Larry came by and said who he thought they were, which is probably a good indication.
So, you know, as far as the ranch goes, I mean, there's no hunting up here springs unless you have that special tag and a permit and request from the board or...
So, yeah, she was less than amused about that, and I'm just curious if you guys can tell me who was right, who was wrong, if that's something we have to deal with, or if this is something that maybe we need better signage. But Larry seems to have known who they were, but he was not with them at the time. It was three guys on horseback.
That is posted at the first.
And that's where they were parked. They actually were parked outside.
And we need to talk to Larry because maybe he did know something.
He did know. He implied that he was pretty confident he knew who they were.
Because he'd go with that.
But what is the rules? I'm just asking now because I'm ignorant of this fact. Is he supposed to be accompanying them during the hunt? Or does he just say, okay, I know you're here. What are the rules? Because they...
Larry showed them where or what.
Huh?
Somebody's supposed to be there that knows exactly where all the buildings are and the houses and where people are living. You know, because I'm there most of the time.
They were coming
and
up towards your place.
Place and say you're right up on it. So you could be shooting in a lot of places and within rifle range.
That's exactly what she said. Our grandson was up there and everything. I mean, they took a shot. I mean, we're... Could have been right there. I mean... is something that I think that I don't know what to do about it. I'm not a hunter, or I don't know the rules. I didn't grow up here, but it just seemed wrong. And I'm now on the board, and I can speak about it, but what about if we weren't here? I mean,
I think what it should be, correct me if I'm wrong, but Larry should know, or somebody on the ranch should know. So if there's any question, you call me and say, hey, you know, there were some hunters over here in my area. Do you know anything about it? I think either me or Larry or somebody should know about it.
I agree.
Larry has been mostly over the years deer hunting.
Yeah.
It's been the only thing. I know traditionally, when Bunting and the guys came up in lion hunting and bear hunting, I denied it. I didn't put them in there. I'd rather see the animals and let them chase them. But the last three or four years, lion hunters and bear hunters have been in the ranch. I don't know that they've been in there by any kind of permission.
Can I answer that one? There have been some, because when the bears were sighted, then the government came in. Right. Fish and game. They came in and gave permits to people to get those bears. I know that they did.
Our area.
Off of Deer Spring. So I don't know. So I don't know where that draws the line, but I just know that when they had a problem, that they got it from the fish and game or whoever, and they had to have a special permit to go get those bears.
They're a bear expert. Whether they issue permits or not, I think somebody should be aware of who's hunting and when. And
I agree. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that. I know that they did that.
They come into the mountain line because he said we had an access number on the ranch. I don't know how I knew that, but he said he covered at least nine different mountain lines, huh?
Probably because he saw three of us committed to take out 30 dozen in one night.
Okay.
Yeah, he wouldn't.
When you don't want to come on the house, you should not think you're going to chase.
Okay. Well, he got that.
All right. All right. Let's say we motion move on to item 8.
Wait, just hold on. Do we have a process now that we were going to do for that?
What are we going to do about the hunting situation? Is this something that we're just going
to be reported?
I think it all needs to be going through Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah. And or Larry. Yeah. They do need to know. I agree. Everybody agree with that?
Paul can contact Larry.
Yeah. I agree with that 100%.
Well, so, but I mean, I don't want to engage you when I come
in. You know, and if she's up on the lot, if she's up on the lot and this happens, she won't know and she can't call.
That guy takes the shot. I mean, it's in my trailer and I will.
Well, that's why I need to know about it, because the people who are hunting need to know, and Larry has done a really good job of this, of driving around saying, hey, there's cabins there, there's people that are here every weekend, there's, you know, and he drives around and he shows people exactly where structures are and where people are.
Is it Paul's responsibility outside if we report something? What is the protocol there then? Do we have a protocol? Is he supposed to call the sheriff's department? Does anybody know?
We're going to have to talk to Larry. I don't know if Larry might have known.
I don't think Larry is involved in bears or
people
need to check in with the my impression from hearing the secondhand conversation was, for whatever reason, he was rounding up what appeared, I'm pretty confident it was his dogs, and it appeared that it was kind of like they just kind of knew that they were up there. I don't know if there was a whoever was hadn't been there for several years, but had been down there before, and they were hunting there. They said bear.
Well, Larry, there were two dogs over at my cabin. Yeah. Larry loaded one in, knowing that they were probably Clint Minkum's dogs or Allen's.
Right.
And the other one wasn't there, so when he went over to check at Slide Canyon, he could hear the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And he finally picked up three dogs.
Three.
They were isolated and brought them to town and returned them to the hunters.
I returned one over to Podunk, Clint Meacham. Past properties, two, one and two, on Jonesy's property. Your cup wanders up, the dog hadn't eaten or drank anything in a long time.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe he wasn't hunting, maybe he was
trying to
out. No, Larry said he was rounding dogs for somebody. Yeah. But the hunters weren't out with Larry and did have dogs. That's all I can put together.
He did it out of courtesy only because the dogs...
So that tells us that the hunters were there without his knowledge. If they're doing it as a courtesy.
I don't think that he knew that they were there.
Okay, so I'm not even going to tell everybody that, but the people on the ranch, if they see something, they need to report it to headquarters and let Paul do the investigation and then find out from Larry or whoever.
Can we put that out in the newsletter?
Okay, so let's make a motion. Let's make a motion that that's the message.
Yes, and let's also in that motion, let's include that in the work in the newsletter. Make a newsletter go out to everybody. If they do see somebody, should notify Paul. Yeah, Paul or Nancy immediately.
Again, however, said he got the newsletter to 300 people in
Salt Lake.
I think it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
Most of them have been to the ranch for the last 10 years.
Well, then maybe a flyer could be written up that could be at the headquarters somewhere. So I don't know, like a little distribution or people have questions or during the startup hunt, you guys can communicate with people as they come in and hey, I got this flyer. If you see anything,
well,
it's easy to know the 300 or 400 of the area. There's one out of St. George. The other two are here.
You know, but you're talking about people who know them. I don't know them. My wife didn't know them.
I know. So that's what we're talking about, communication. Is Paul should know the 300 or 400 or 500 hunters that are even in the area.
Right.
And those people should be a phone call to them to say, don't come on Deer Springs unless you tell us where, when, and how.
We're supposed to check in and get one of those mirror tags.
That would be an excellent deal.
But to send this thing to somebody in New York,
You're right.
A couple lines.
I think it should go in the newsletter because the guy in New York probably isn't reading every newsletter, and if he is interested enough in the ranch to know everything that's going on, even if it's a couple liner.
Yeah, a couple liner.
Well, I was going to say, if you see any hunters on the ranch, contact Paul and his
friend. Yes. And you could post what the hunting season is for. You know, but
Dale's suggestion, though, to contact the hunters is about.
I know that, but Paul should contact the hunters. So the people need to go contact Paul. And then Paul will contact.
Yeah,
Paul contacts.
Answer to your question, though, is generally tagged or not.
That's kind of the point of my question. So if this were to happen again, which hopefully it doesn't, and
the odds, I'm sure, are slim. Can I approach a hunter and ask him for his tag and why he's on my property?
And if he has a tag, you have to move on.
Say you're on private property, you have to leave. That's
so basically take a picture and tell them to leave and say this will be in the newspaper.
You should post
your property and flag it some way.
Flag. There's a rope in front of my driveway.
Paint. You'd be surprised how many people actually do own early
morning hunting, and they were parked outside the gates and went through the gates from their car.
We had trappers come over Slide Canyon and trap one of the members' dogs, okay? When people released it, the guy from the Fish and Wildlife said, you know, you should never open a person's trap. And they said, well, it was on our private property and it had our dog caught. He said, well, it wasn't parked properly, so that's why we put a gate on Slide Canyon. So they would know that that actually is a gated piece of land.
And you get in trouble for opening the trap to let your dog
go? That's right. That's what we're told.
Trap would be completely disappeared.
And in fact, he said that your land is not marked properly. Well, enters into the ranch is easily marked in all borders. This is private property. There's no hunting, which should include no trapping.
I think the half a dozen who are doing trapping or hunting are the ones to work with, and I think you'll find them cooperative.
Yeah,
we tell them stay off deer springs. We mean stay off deer springs, not your lot, my lot, but stay off deer springs.
Okay. Can I get a second on
that? They're all
seconds.
Thank
you. All right, move.
The ones I've ever read from this are not the first. I've been in like Californians or somebody that comes in and is on state tag, and I've had them almost pull a weapon on me when I tried to get them out of private property. Mm-hmm. So I just pretended like I was going to call the sheriff, and they left.
All right, so we've already had a second on that. Let's go ahead and move on to ranch communication, reservations, web development, Ryan.
That's me. Okay, communications, I started on it. I don't have anything for motion or anything like that. But Deerfield Ranch owns 8 frequencies from the FCC. I do make a motion that we pay the bill when it comes because this is kind of unheard of these days. Thank you, Dale, for getting those frequencies for us back in the day. It's hard to get this kind of frequencies, but what we can do with these is very, very limited right now. I'm going to talk to my people, my network of people, to help educate me on our options. To develop these frequencies into usable frequencies that Bob's already kind of set up under his own stuff, but for the ranch to actually have their own frequencies and to use them at the capacity Bob's using his frequencies at, it is a little bit of a bill. But I need to get all my information together and numbers together to present. If you want to budget it or if you want to do it one time, I mean, it's a one-time fee.
Do you have a number available for our, budget meeting, which will be the next meeting?
To be able to use that legally.
Right? To be able to use the ones we own legally. I mean, we can use these now, but, for example, there's one of the frequencies says there's only, one person allowed to be on it. I mean, back in the day, I'm sure when these were done, because I actually called the FCC and talked to them to help define some of the terminology on here. They're like, back in the day, I mean, when this was done, it was a lot more less formal than it is now, and people weren't so critical. But to have all this updated to today's standards, since there is a legal aspect of what we do here, it needs to be updated. And from what I was skimming the internet, seeing prices with, it's about $200 per frequency to have it updated to what we want to use it for, which I'm not going to go into detail with. But we own great frequencies, and we can do a lot with them, but I need to get my information together and to see what I can present. I mean, we don't have to do anything with it, but I do suggest that we pay the bill, which will be coming in January.
Remember that bill that you gave me?
You haven't gotten the bill yet. You may have gotten an early notice that it's coming, but the bill's in January, and you have 3 months to pay it, and I highly recommend, again, we pay it because 8 frequencies, I mean, and even in the future, you can do a lot, yeah?
Right.
Yes?
Okay. I mean, this is just a question. We're going to pay for frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
You go down here to Radio Shack, buy 2 of those little radios.
Yes.
Anybody in the world can get on.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So you put a repeater that Bob put over, and you can... You can communicate all over ranch or nothing.
Yes.
there's a legal aspect when it comes to that. This is, the ranch owns these. When I get my numbers together and I talk to Bob, who does have some equipment up here, we'll talk about how we'll present his side to the board. And then I'll tell you the legal advantages, I guess, yes, the legal advantages of using our own that we own.
Okay.
There is, like I said, this is a legal issue, like you guys were worried about her and the liability. There's, again, the law has their hand on a lot of things. And I don't want to do anything that can come back on us.
Very good. Good report. I'm glad that it's moving forth on that one.
And on the second half, I was going to do more internet research and all that that I got from bands. But something came up in my personal life that really stopped me from making progress this last week. My wife is being mobilized for a year. We found out 3 days ago.
Oh.
And she leaves Wednesday.
Oh, my God.
So, obviously, my life just went...
Wow.
So, with that said, I mean, that's why I haven't had a lot of prep time for this particular meeting. I was going to... Obviously, the last week was when I was going to really round stuff up. And I got this information. So, she is leaving Wednesday for a year. She's going to El Paso, Texas, though. Worthless. Not a beautiful place anywhere. Who's shooting at who and what country she could have been in, I don't know. But it's a bad location, but it's in the United States.
That's at least it's in the United States.
Yes.
Anything else for that one?
Other than that, no. I mean, I don't have any. Unless anyone has any questions.
Anybody else wants input on that before we move on? Anything else? All right, then update on water issues, Dale.
Let me put no report, Mark. So it's clarified on who's wanting to make decisions on the Meadow Canyon Spring. I haven't been back in touch with T-Bow Engineering
okay. Or
the others at all during the last couple of months. And there's no pipeline construction or anything happening on it.
Okay.
And so there's a better feeling as to who's protecting the assets and who's trying to steal them or whatever is going on in the water system.
Okay. It was a good report you had last month for us at our meeting, though. Thank you for bringing that and all that hard work and doing
lovely.
That. Very, very, very knowledgeable. Very knowledgeable on that one.
And I hope to touch on that before we dismiss today.
Okay. Very good.
Ben's not here.
Water committee. See, that's...
Oh, that's the first thing.
That's still part of the water...
I think that's like the others. That's still a zero over
in
the left hand
column. Yeah, zero. Bob did want to, he emailed me about helping participate with what he can or he wants to be involved on that. Correct?
Excuse me, are you still on number 10?
No.
On number 10.
No, that was C on the water. There's the water committee for C. Bob Allen wants to, he emailed me with an interest to help whatever he can do or help the committee. He'd like to learn whatever he can do to help this, yes.
Yeah.
I told him I'd quit bringing up your meeting.
Oh, it's good to have another person.
Any thoughts? Everybody glad with that?
Any member can be on any committee. Yep.
Okay, so... Bob, welcome to the committee.
Thank you.
And unless anybody else has anything else, will anybody want to second that motion?
Oh, you want to make a motion?
All right. Do we need to make a motion on that? Yes, no?
No.
Okay, there you go then. Ben's, anybody know anything about for Ben and agriculture and wildlife, or should we just table that one until the next?
No.
I think we kind of... What?
I think A, gravel pit activity.
Oh, yeah.
Pressure moved in.
Yes, yes. I saw the pictures. Excellent, yes.
Yeah. We're going to start breaking rocks, and the question is they would like people to buy gravel for $7 a yard. I don't know if very many are going to do that.
There's quite a few people that have lined up to.
Will they load for that?
Yeah,
we load
for that.
Yeah, we already decided that, but $7 a yard. And you have to pay one, well, how much is it for the rent? 51, 50 cents?
50 and 50, I think it was.
I don't know who's coordinating again. Who has the names, who has what, and how are they going to be loading, who's going to do what, what's the overall cost, what's the ranch get out of it?
We get 50 cents.
And then when we get to Phil's letter, he would like for most of it to be spent on his road, which is up Deer Springs Road. But we'll
Is he going to be maintaining and running this when somebody needs it?
That's one of my questions, because I've had a number of people come to me, hey, I'd like to buy 500 yards. And I personally have enough to do. It's tough to say, you know, well, I'll go call Alan right now and have it delivered. I can't do that every day.
Call Alan.
So I've been directing things to Bill and to Alan. But I will maintain, you know, there's going to be a 5,000 yard stockpile, from what I understand, after they're done doing whatever. I'm looking at either putting big boulders or something around it just to protect it. But
stockpiled for sale or for?
For sale.
Okay, gotcha. You know, and
where is that the same location as last time?
Yes.
But people stole it. People
took it last time.
And Phil just sent a really long email like 2 days ago. I just had brief time to run through it, and I think Dale got enough that he's talking about. But it's like not enough time to go through all his stuff that he's asking on that. So I'm like, can we wait till next meeting on responding to Phil?
I
don't have a printer here to print that. And I was at the ranch already, so I don't have a way to print it. And did y'all get it?
That thing's going to be crushing probably in a day or two. And it's going to crush until they're done. I don't know if we have a lot of
time. Talk like they can crush it in 1 week. That, I really hate to see it moved out in a week.
Right.
Because I don't think we even know what's going on.
Alan told me it's probably 3 weeks. Because we are trading cabin toy with him for gravel for the ranch.
Why don't we have Steve like Paul?
Yeah.
And he's not involved.
There you go. Yep. Whoever.
Well, Alan's not going to be here except during the time he's crushing it.
Well, yeah, but we can still get a hold of him.
Yeah, I'm going to look at either getting a fence or some big boulders so people can't back up to it and load it by hand.
Good job.
Yeah. People do free that. I know I've got 12 yards from Alan Steed and this left in the gravel pit. By the time I got here a week later, there's only about a yard and a half left.
Okay, the inventory that's supposed to be sitting there either belongs to Phil Hall or Alan Steed.
Right.
Why would you put rocks around it?
They were talking about
this. This is for the reason I just told you.
Yeah.
People back out.
What I'm saying is,
I bought 12 yards and I got.
Well, what he's saying is that his time is on our clock.
It's their inventory.
Right, their problem.
And all the children need to protect their inventory.
Not necessarily me doing the work, but having them a boulder or a fence or something.
Okay, let us know now. That's good.
Yeah.
Well, they can protect it the way they want to, right?
Yeah.
There's something along these lines here. They're going to be digging out a lot of that stuff off that hill, and I need to spend some time with Rod or maybe you and see where his property line is. There's a corner marker right there. I just need to find where that is.
We have a 6-acre permit anyhow, so we can't move beyond that.
But Rod Johnson's property markers right there. I need to find that. And something else too, you know, when you come down around the rock pit, there's that blind corner that goes, you know, to the left around that corner. That corner you may be gone, and I'm trying to get it built up to the right more. So instead of it being that sharp turn, it's just going to be a little more straighter. So. Right. But they're going to be building a little bit more of the road out wider, so it's not going to be such a blind corner there. It'd be nice.
So we'll get some. So the ranch is getting some good value out of this thing. We're getting some gravel.
Yeah. Okay. All the numbers are true. Yeah.
Ultimately, I'd like to take the road just straight from the road up to the airstrip before it turns and goes down, just to have it go straight down. But that's down the road. So.
Yeah, we used to be a road around there now, so that you at least just check
the road. Yes, it's a detour, yeah.
That's the road.
the fencing and fencing plans then, can we move on from the gravel then? So is there gravel covered? The fencing and fencing plans, I think we've beat to death already.
And I think we're going to have to beat it some more in the future.
We will. But I think for this rest of this meeting, I think we tabled it any further.
Or before that.
Disking, mowing, and seeding. So does anybody know what Ben's doing on that?
Well, let's bring that up in about January, too.
Yeah, you said
well, put on the budget.
No, I've been mowing, like, rock hollow. Are we planning on just broadcasting anything out there before it snows, or is that something we want to do in the spring?
Yeah,
we're still
I haven't been asked for something
about it. Well, when Ben gets back, I'll start talking with him more. Because we're right at that time, a year before it snows. That
right. Okay, then moving on, then we'll get into the facilities, cabin maintenance, Dave Turley's report, which he's not here. Do we want to table this till the next meeting?
Well, again, the pavilion, I think you put a zero out in the left column.
Until spring.
Landon Welch and Larry Clarkson, a zero. Roof on cabin 3, as we talk about that.
That was something new. I don't know.
I think that's a zero.
Is that a budget item, though?
Feeding the upper cabins, a zero.
Hold it, Dale. Roof on cabin number 3, is that a budget item to consider for next month?
You can put a negative on that because there's shingles.
There's what?
Shingles falling off cabin 3.
So we need to do something.
Priority? Yes, we need to next year.
Okay. That's a budget item. And painting of the cabins would be a budget item as well. Okay?
Yep.
Got it?
Okay.
All right, so the other items on that, let's just go ahead and table till the next meeting. Legal and moving on then to legal and public safety, Jody.
And I thought the approval of Rod Johnson's was emailed to Jerk or Ben last meeting, or do you know? They were going to approve that.
Big semi trucks, two or three of them brought tremendous supplies in yesterday.
I think it was Ben that was supposed to give them the okay, so maybe after a week or two I'll call Ben and just see if that's been done before you got in.
I think what the question was is it's almost like they were hand drawn on a piece of paper.
Well, we wanted a little bit more.
Yeah,
we
did.
Yeah. I think Ben was supposed to call him on that or email him and just give us back the plot plan of where he was going to set the cabin, and then Ben was going to yay it or nay it, and it didn't have to come back to board anymore. So that could be taken off the agenda. But I will double check with Ben to make sure that's done.
All right. So. Nothing other than that. Mm-hmm. You'll check on that one, Jody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving on to budget planning. We're going to go ahead and table till next meeting, correct? Mm-hmm. All right, good deal. Thank you. Any other items that somebody else would like to bring up?
Do you want to talk about Phil Hall and the culverts and the gravel?
Well, that's that long email we were just talking about.
I did not get that letter at all.
I did not get the letter.
Can you...
I can read it to you if I find it.
You guys are aware that 10 or 12 48-inch culverts were delivered to the ranch.
No.
They came from Colorado City. The ends are kind of a little chewed up, but there's some good sections in there that I think Phil Hall's going to use a lot of them, but he was talking about waiving some assessments and doing some other things with those culverts. But
did y'all make the culverts, or are there...
And he says the one over a year ago was $2,400 or something.
Oh,
better than $7,000. Remember the box culverts that we were looking to buy? That was $7,000 that we were considering.
Was the culvert you used
$7,000?
No.
$2,400.
Maybe the culvert was $17,000, then the labor on top of it came to $2,400.
Probably, yeah.
I did monitor it. It was there a couple of weeks ago, that heavy storm, that flooding went through there. They handled it really well. So
we still need to put some rock on that downside.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah,
yes, we do. Keep some erosion.
Okay.
Great.
Would you like for me to read this letter?
Yes, if we get everybody's attention, Dale's going to read this letter.
Oh. like to communicate with you a couple of proposals. First, a review of this last year's history might be helpful. Last winter, when Brent Fulmer was on the road committee, I initiated planning for improvements on road in the Crawford Canyon area. That's over toward Phil Hall's place. This included culverts placement, ditching, and improvements to the road, graveling some of the road segments. I also asked for permission to bring in a rock crusher and produce gravel. This summer, I donated some large culverts that I think Paul took pictures of, and the ranch paid to have them placed. About how much have we paid Paul Steed for placing culverts and stuff?
Me, Alan.
Alan Steed.
I think the check was about $3,000 for the one in Podunk.
Different places.
Yeah, different places.
Paul also divided out some culverts to use on the road to my upper lot 44 to be placed for the ranch. They have been placed. 3 months ago, I inquired through Paul if the ranch would be willing to trade annual dues, gravel, etc., for large culverts, 4 or 5 foot diameter, 20 to 30 feet long. I knew that week Paul was going to attend the monthly board meeting and ask him to bring it up to the board. The answer I got back from him was yes. We can trade, get as many culverts as you can. I don't know how many or the cost of the culverts or their delivery time then. So I proceeded to procure the culverts via trade arrangements with my Colorado City connection. There are approximately 10 culverts. I believe Vance Green wants one of them. They are 25 to 30 feet long and 4.5 feet in diameter. They are now all delivered to the ranch in the area of the gravel pit. They are worth about $65 per foot, plus the delivery charge. I'm willing to trade them to the ranch for $1,000 on the average per culvert, or $9,000 for the lot of them. I believe you paid over $2,500 for one delivered in 3 pieces with collars for the Johnny Brown project. The following are things I would be willing to trade for: future yearly assessments on my 2 lots, gravel surcharge the ranch wants on top of the county charge for gravel removed from the pit for my personal use, and greater rental I would provide my own operator. The other thing I could help the ranch with is acquisition of crushed gravel. Brent has been gathering requests through the summer for about 1,000 yards. I think I could use about 1,000 yards. The crusher that is now being assembled can put out about 5,000 yards quality gravel in a little over 1 week. It will cost about $7 per yard to produce for that quality. I know that this time of year the ranch does not have a lot of money until the next assessment comes in. Even then, there is only so much money annually for gravel expense. I'm willing to defer payment and possibly trade more on gravel for some time with the following requests: that a portion of the ranch gravel be spread this fall all along Crawford Road to my place, lot 58, and up to the Turley place, and above on the road that is already prepared to my lot 44, and to turn off to Dan Wirt's place. Beside what I need, and others have requested 2,000 yards, I will have Alan Speed crush as much as you want, 3,000 to 5,000 yards, and pay them, and he will pay them now, so that the ranch can move forward on the needs to preserve ranch roads. I will be liberal with the payback time and conditions and possible trade scenarios. As I see it, the ranch and I both benefit. I am open to your suggestions on a win-win scenario. Now, if we should get, let's say, 3,000 yards and use it on the Crawford Road, that would cost us about $21,000 plus the equipment to put it down. So he's suggesting something like a $30,000 expense for road improvements. We certainly need road improvements.
Agreed.
I'm glad the crusher is there. How can we use it best? Who wants to get gravel? And the culverts are, that's a good buy on the culverts, whether we can pay for it or whether individuals they want to pay.
Where do you want to put them?
I mean, $500 or $1,000 for them. I know where two culverts should go. But they're big culverts. We don't have a lot of places on the ranch where they can be used. I don't know where we'd use 10 culverts that size.
Do you already know where we can use two of them?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe do
that. That's that road right there, but then we're, someone else's property. That road, the access, do we have the right of way?
And you're trying to get forces to take care of it anyway.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't count.
That's another spot that would work perfect.
I could be here.
That other,
that's
the Johnny Brown Road.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that one road. Is that place where the
washout is? Why? That was just way bigger than what we need.
Do we still have
to go to the so we can't fix that.
That's part of the monument.
There's the one sitting there by Rob Holland. That was going to go up right at the BLM line. But I think I'm going to take that down to headquarters on the driveway.
What is those culverts?
I traded six of them.
Yeah, are you still there?
Well,
yeah, my
girl
rocked
it out.
Yeah,
I'm
going to get Vance. Vance? Well, Crawford. And then he got six of our culverts. Hey, Vance? Is he in there? Dang, might have cut him off. I was going to see if he knew anywhere else
at Culver. That would be a big benefit to us. And how else can we... I know money's a big issue. I mean, does he, we have a lot of available cabin time. Does he want some extra cabin time so he can rent out to somebody?
I have a question for Chris. Get me up to speed with some of this other stuff. The rock crusher. Whose is it?
LLD.
And he's a member?
No.
Okay. He's charging us if the association bought rock to use on the association, what is our charge?
$7 a year.
So he's not giving the homeowner or the association is getting the same price?
Yeah. It's that he's trading with us for cabin time right now. He's giving us gravel, the rich gravel.
How much?
For whatever. I don't know for what.
Days of the cabin.
3 weeks.
Well, that's what I'm not following. I mean,
if we have 3,000 yards of crushed gravel sitting in the pit, then they will all pay for it. It doesn't necessarily mean that the ranch has to pay for it. Next year, when people come up and they're like, oh, hey, there's a big pile of gravel, I'd like to buy 500 yards for my driveway.
Well,
they can buy it from the
club. Well, I'm not worried about the selling of later. I'm worried about our roads need help. That is so true. Why don't we take advantage of maybe a better price on this gravel to buy our own gravel? Even if we can't lay it now, the machine's here, and I'm just throwing this out. I don't know. I mean,
what better price?
I don't know. I mean, we're giving him a captive audience. I mean, what's he doing for us?
Brent Robinson right down the road.
I don't know.
He's way more than that.
Close to home.
You know what I mean?
That's a real good deal, right?
Okay. So, I mean, are we buying any as
here's some grants.
Yeah, we are.
We need to do
that this year.
And we're going to do what with it? Put it on the roads. And do we have an agenda what roads are getting those, or do you use it as needed by washouts and stuff like that?
Well, my priority road right now with gravel that I'm going to trade with LC is that road in between the cabins, the cabin down by headquarters.
Okay.
I built that road back up. But, I mean, there's, I haven't really come to the board with suggestions or had any.
Do we have a way to haul gravel?
Canyon Road that access to different cabins.
By the next meeting, people, and I don't know how this is supposed to work, but come and say, look, hey, you know, I'm in this area, this road might need to be addressed.
Let me tell you how this normally works. Normally, if you have a lot, and most people have done that themselves, they will go out there and say, okay, this is my property, and I'll put your gravel belt right in here. And on their property, or else you have somebody that connects in with you. We don't have enough money to do that, the whole thing, so we do the major roads. Okay? The major roads that everybody uses, to the cabins or whatever. Then people, just as they can't afford it, do things on their property or out in front of their property so they can help access. We would never be able to do every road.
It would take 250,000 yards,
right?
Probably to do.
You do all the roads.
All the roads.
Okay. Can I let me throw an offer from myself into the ranch. We have no way to haul in this gravel to even use it on our ranch to benefit us at all.
That's what we use Alan. So, and Alan, apparently from what Phil says, Alan's only charging cost $7 per yard, and then Alan tags on his delivery on top of that. That's how he gets his money. So
$7
cost. I don't think we'd verify that, but I'm just throwing that out there.
Okay, so, but we have our own tractor to load it if I had our own dump truck, right? And if we had our own dump truck, we could sit there and spread gravel on ourselves. Mm-hmm. Would the board like to license and insure my dump truck from me? I have a nice one from Ahern that I would donate to let them use as long as they just kept up with it. It's sitting in Cedar City right now.
What kind of
user? It's a Ford. It came from Ahern Rental. The Ford, was that 5 yards?
10 yards, 5 yards?
I think it's, I don't know if it's 5 or 10, but it's a single axle.
Single axle?
Uh-huh.
Is that the one on Val's property?
No, I got it. It's like brand new looking.
Okay.
It looks like brand new. I mean, it's...
I think that was a generous offer.
I'm willing to do that. I mean, there's times when they're not using it as, you know, that I could be using it for doing whatever I want to also out there. But it's sitting in Cedar. It's not registered. It's not insured.
Would you have to register
on private property?
Well, that's the thing.
Registering the ranch truck, it wouldn't cost that much.
We'd have to get a moving permit to move it. I drove it.
I
unofficially drove it from Vegas to Cedar, but early in the morning.
Yeah, but I can move it on a dealer plate.
Yeah. That's dealer plate. I'd bring it over. As long as they, you know, exit it in perfect order right now. As long as we went over it with Paul and said, this is what it is, and you're welcome to use it. I'd like to just see it somewhere other than sitting where it's at and just letting the, you know, mice crawl around it so we can get it.
Is that something anybody can drive?
An automatic.
I mean, point shoot.
For your concern, if you want.
Do you want to see anybody drive?
I don't want to rent it. I don't know. Maybe we could talk about rental out of some other customers if they want to do it.
That's another form of income. Whether I drive it and people rent it or...
You've got a lot of it already. I mean, here's the thing.
People are going to turn down in a gravel pit. They're going to see a big pile of gravel. They're going to see a loader, and they're going to see a dump truck. And they're going to say, how can I get some of that rock to my lot?
Yes, they will.
Well, I can tell you, we could rent it out for a certain amount, an hour or a
loader. If we can find out what it's going to be cheaper than maybe what Alan would be, or we have more.
Or Larry could possibly make a couple bucks, or just... However, we can do that, but that would be another form of income.
Another thing to consider, the county just contracted for think, 20,000 yards.
That's right, they have it too.
For just under $4 a yard.
That's true, because Dirk told us about that.
Gravel?
Yeah.
So maybe we need to counteroffer his $7. Because he might be more interested in making, because he might have an inflated price, he's telling us the cost.
Yeah.
He may be willing to renegotiate his price if we have a better offer on the table.
It seems like they're 50 cents to the match and 50 cents to the mineral price.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's in addition to the $7 or is that paid out of $7?
That's the $7, so I might guess it for the ranch.
So it's probably six. It's probably six from the half. 50 cents goes to mineral, 50 goes to the ranch.
Is the mineral the state or the county? Is it BLM?
BLM.
That's
right,
but.
Well, I know the primary is pretty expensive.
Yes.
The county takes it at one time shot.
20 yards in one load. For a 5-yard dump truck is going to take you just as long or more. In fact, we go back and forth.
Yeah, because this is a real nice dump truck.
It might be an inflated price, but
And if you look at, okay, the county is not going to take Bill Hall's offer, because Bill Hall has a deal with Eller. The county's not going to take that deal.
The county may be getting a different price because they're buying not only 20,000 from here, they're buying hundreds of thousands of yards, and that's going to be better.
What's the cost in the long run of him using up the mineral rights we have a permit for now, and when that's gone, is that something to consider at all? I don't know. I don't know how much dirt we have to crush or the legalities of crushing our own dirt.
No.
And when does that run out, and then what is the repercussions of when we run out, then what do we got to do? Reapply or?
And do we use the grant set on lot one at all? Is it being used or?
We use it on Johnny Brown.
There's
like,
no gravel.
Yeah, there's no official gravel pit there.
We're talking unofficially.
Actually, it's full right now. There's nothing there. There's no hole in the ground. What are you talking about, Johnny?
I don't answer your question. Gravel replaces itself every time it rains, just like over lot one.
Yeah. It rains a lot.
5 or 6 foot hole we're using on this from your springs on its road.
Mm-hmm. Mainly dump in the water.
Every time it rains, it goes right up the sky. Same thing with the one over here right now.
Of course.
We have a range that washes gravel down where we put on the floor.
Right, okay.
Yeah. We don't have pavement or rights on the gravel we use on the road. That decision was made several years ago. It's only on the fiber road that we can enter rights for the gravel we use on the gravel pit. So that should be another thing to think about it when we're talking about cost on the area.
I think $7 a yard sitting on Deer Springs.
I think it's
a good price. Yeah.
And then the opportunity to pay it off in a few years, or he said in trade and in future years.
So I guess we have to kind of determine how much we need first, and then get the dollar amount on that, and then figure out the trade.
Okay.
Or do we just tell them that we're open for trading situations and defer payments out, but
we have to determine how much.
Well, and there'll be stockpiles. You can come get it later if it's a county thing going. You need quite some from the county at this point, but it doesn't matter. Other people will want to get it from the ranch still.
So being how much to stockpile.
So we want to answer Phil. Isn't that what we're trying to get to? We need to answer Phil letter. So are we saying okay? Are we paying him or keeping the culverts, or do we want? I mean, the culverts are there, right?
Yes.
So we got something. We got to pay for the culverts. So we have to taking one. There's nine more. He's either 9,000 for the lot or $1,000 a piece. So let's pay him.
And Dale knows we can use two of them. Hey, Vance. You got the email from Phil Hall, right? Okay, those big culverts, and I don't know if you've seen them yet or not. He said they're. You have? Okay. Okay. So Is there anywhere else on the ranch that you know of that we could use that big size of culvert? Dale's already thought of two places. Dale, you want to tell him where you thought?
Well, one in the hidden reservoir and one that I would use personally.
Okay, so Dale wants one. So is there anywhere else that you can think of that we need?
Yeah, you guys probably have more people on that than I do right off the bat. That's the one I've never heard of you that you can roll over to bring in the reservoir back to this table.
I can think of two or three. So
the problem is, it's a fairly large culvert.
Right,
that's right.
What's the diameter of the 4.5 feet.
And like Dale said, there's not too many places we have developed roads.
Okay, I want one.
So Shana will handle this thing.
And they're 20 to 30 feet long?
Yeah. 25 to 30.
Is this something that we have to figure out today? I mean, the culverts are there. I think the main focus is the groundwater.
I would table it.
Okay.
All right.
So anyway, and some of us can identify where they should go.
Probably for next meeting so that we can make the budget off of that.
Okay.
All right. So we'll table that until next month.
Okay.
And on the gravel.
We can table that as well. I think.
I think you need to do a budget. We want to put on our own roads too.
So we need to really see what they end up with before we can make a decision anyhow.
They're just going to crush what we want, and then whatever they need for private, that's not.
I think we need to
give them a number
to answer Phil so he can go on. But I think that we should take his offer. We can work out the rest of the details at our next meeting. They're already there anyway.
You want to call him back or email him back?
So the board is committing to buying whatever isn't sold privately of the culverts.
He's got none.
We've done what? So they're tabling the culverts.
We're on gravel. Yeah.
Well, even if I understand, he's planning to go ahead and crush 5,000 yards with no commitment on our part. So even that is something we would address if we identify where it wants to go. But he is wanting most of that we buy to go on the road over in the proper area.
And how can we have to dispute that?
How many lots of services?
I think the big thing is, what do we do on the budget? Are we going to have $50,000 for road improvements?
The other thing is that Crawford was done several years ago at Crawford's expense, and that's probably one of the better roads in the ranch still.
Yeah.
So why we add good gravel to an already good road seems really quite questionable to me when we have so many roads that are very marginal on the ranch.
Yeah, so that's why the board would know in what
highway
determine which roads
to do this. And I know Bill's got very generous in this offer, but that's an awful big expense for something that benefits very few people because of the fact that the road's already so good over there.
Yeah, it doesn't compete at all with the Meadow Canyon Road up through the trees.
You know, I went over that just recently, and the road's in really good shape, except for a couple of places. Is he thinking just to fix up a couple of places, or is he thinking about to cover the whole thing again? Do we know?
And also, his letter stated that he would supply use of a greater operator, so are we coming up with the cost to...
We would come up with a greater.
The greater and the cost of the greater expense to do this, too?
Well, there's going to be hauling in there, too.
There's hauling.
Yeah.
Cool. See, Slide came as long as I've been here. We never had an ounce of gravel put on.
Thank you.
Oh, we did a little tiny bit 1 year.
Yeah.
We need to find out what he's going to... He's doing it anyway. It's going to be there. It's going to be there for anybody to buy, for the ranch to buy.
Or trade.
Point.
If we buy it, we may say, here's the map, or we're going to use so much here, so much here, so much here. I'd like for us to start having a map here so that everybody knows what we're talking about. Because the Iron Gate, but that's too far away.
Right.
We can't get up and say, oh, here's the...
I got one here we can write on, too. We can write on this one.
Can we all... will somebody get some copies of this? Can we have something we've made at the office?
But this one we can pass around the table and we can write on it because I've already started writing on it for trail, so we can use this.
Is that the biggest one we have?
Well, it's feasible. So
we can
pass around it.
I like this. We all need to have a map here at our next meeting.
Okay.
In reference to roads, it'd be nice to get these lot numbers, not so much names.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So next meeting, you guys, this is really hard to do when this one's up. I don't know what we're looking at.
And here's the other thing too. I mean, we're talking about roads, and we're coming right on winter. We're going to lose our roads here right shortly till spring.
Yeah.
Where is our real maintenance going to need to really be? How much damage are we going to get from flooding? How much water are we going to get this winter? Are some things that really need to? We don't know. We can't. That's the analogy I use in my shop quite often. What color socks am I wearing, and do I have any holes in them? You know. Can you forecast this stuff? I mean, some of the stuff we need to... Well, I know we need to have something as far as the budget, but trying to determine now what roads need to be fixed?
Well, we can't decide that. Phil's asking for an answer.
Right, if we answer to Phil, number one, we are interested in his offer, and we will give
details. I don't know. Oh, perfect. Okay, that's a motion. Now, let me say this. Do that again. Okay.
Do we answer Phil and tell him we are interested in his offer of culverts and gravel, but the details will be determined at our next board meeting?
There you go.
Okay. I don't know.
Yes, please.
I don't think you have to worry about fixing roads between now and next spring. If it's anything like the last 2 years, it's just snow removal.
Yeah.
I don't think I wrote that right.
What is the county going to be doing these roads this year, do you know, for snow?
Culverts and gravel.
They'll clear the snow.
They'll clear it to headquarters?
It depends on how long Lee stays out there.
If Lee's there, they clear to bring her home.
At least there, right?
It all depends on who's, living out there. If nobody's living out there, then they just go right past the airstrip. Road have to turn off. Meadow Canyon turn off.
And then they make a berm. And Paul reinforces the berm. And then people come in and say, oh, there's a berm. Guess I better go over it. even though it's 4 feet high.
But that's 2 feet of snow here. I'm going to get through my Lexus SUV.
All right.
We're over Starbucks.
Let's go. Okay. That's all that is on the agenda.
Why make a motion to adjourn?
Oh, no. Oh, sorry.
Oh, Dale had something he wanted to add in on there, too.
Sorry.
I spent several hundred dollars on a little study and a suggestion at the annual meeting. I want to know if any questionnaires have been turned in, and if they haven't, why haven't they? And if members want to participate and give their 2 cents, we made it very easy for them to fill in a form and put their lot number so that the board knows whether to move right or left.
Did this go off to the entire membership or just the people that were there?
At the meeting.
I think Vance was going to put it on the web.
It hasn't been on there yet.
So the disk was sent to him. He requested it. We sent them the disk.
Vance, did that go on the web?
Yeah, but he didn't clear, or wasn't clear, and it is now that Joe was expecting people to fill it out and send them back.
Well, why did we write them and have them set it up? I think definitely that people need, and everybody said we want to have some input, we want to be a part of the decision making, we want our desires to be known. Well, how's the easiest way for the board to know what lot number 50 wants or doesn't want, unless they take a few minutes and let the board know what their plan is? So yes, I don't know whether any have been mailed in to Linda. I don't know whether any of you have filled them out. But it was not just for exercise. I think that it just would be the main thing to guide us on budgeting and activities and staff and equipment and everything else this next year or the next 5 years could be added to or used in that that questionnaire. So, yeah, it wasn't just for the fun of it.
Okay, so let's put that on the website. Can you, Vance? Would you
put out a
notice that says all questionnaires must be returned by the next meeting, which is the first.
Well, we want it before the next meeting.
What we do on that questionnaire is the fact there's no specific.
It's too arbitrary.
$100,000 for water projects, but it doesn't say what. Why are we spending this money on exactly what's going to cost what and where they're going to go? Where's the fences going to go? We've got so much money put into fences, so much money put into roads, but what roads? Square.
That's part of a $20,000 master plan that we don't have the money to do.
Your suggestion,
that's why I wrote it this way. So I suggest we consider the following funding amounts. Goodness knows there are places we can spend more than that on each one of these items. And then down at the bottom, for the member to recommend that we forget water rights totally, or we forget a cattle ranch. Let's forget improving the cabins. And down here, tell them what they propose, what they would like to the board to consider on a budget. And then where does the money come from? Someplace.
My input on this, Dale, is if you want people to read this and respond to it, you're going to need to put some backing numbers to that. A lot of those numbers.
Let's say they do nothing. Let's say we do nothing.
That's right. You're talking about going to an open book or saying what you're saying. You want to go hard ones, or you want to say, I don't want to spend any money.
No, I think it's
I don't want to spend money on things that I don't really know what we're going to spend on.
You know, maybe that instead of having dollar figures next to everything, have people prioritize top 10 items that they would like to see addressed, and then.
Well, the reason I did this is inadequate. For instance, it should be your suggestion.
You're leading them with dollar amounts. I think it should just be on prioritized on what, like, if you ask me, what are my priorities in the Gershman Grant, I would go to that paper and I would say, well, I think water's a priority, roads, cabin rentals, in that order. And then let the board hammer out the numbers because the people spoke what their priority is. Can't guide them with numbers.
Well, but that's why this document here was put together to tell them where some of the goals are, where some of the fences are.
But they have their own goals, too.
That's right. But most of the members have no clue.
And you're right. Most members don't have any clue. But they also, they also don't know how much stuff costs and how much labor intensive things are. I'm the one that wrote the GPS for the breaches in the fence. I had no idea that it was 40 miles long or whatever in the heck it was. But now I know. And now I know it's a stupid statement. People in New York don't know that, but they have priorities because you're trying to drive people to use the ranch, but they don't know what's going on. Ask them what their priorities are, what will make them come back. Water will make them come back. Better roads will make them come back. Just say, hey, what would you like to see done? This. And that will hopefully get them more active in the board in the minute because they will see where their projects are going, if they like them or not, if they like the dollar value or not. Putting the number on it just... It scares people. Well, I'm not going to commit to $100,000 on this because I don't really know a lot. But I would like to see the road. They're putting their name and a dollar figure in a lot. That's not how they're taking it. That's how you want it, but that's not how they're interpreting it. It is. But that's how they're interpreting it.
Some could care less about cattle ranch.
Right.
They could care less about cows and cattle ranch. So they need to tell the board. We don't give a hoot if there's ever a cow or a cow pie.
And that would be 0% concern.
Boom.
And that's why we're putting dollars next to things. They get a percentage on their care, on their needs.
No, because they have no idea. Are we?
How can you tell if they have no idea? How can you make them put a dollar figure next to something they have no idea about?
I know. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah,
they know. Right.
Well,
these numbers.
Somebody has to guide them on roads. Is it a wheelbarrow type of a thing? Is it $1,000? No, we're talking $100,000. Tell us whether that's a good blue or not a good blue.
It might be better measures is to say, this is what we're spending on roads right now. And if we spend more on roads, this is what it's going to cost per lot to spend this extra money on roads. Okay? And we're going to say, if we want to improve water rights on the ranch, this is what we're spending right now on the ranch. This is part of our budget. This is the percentage of the budget that's going to that. If we want to improve that, this is what it's going to cost per lot to add onto the water, the fencing, or any of the things that are on that list.
Okay. I think the people who don't give a crap aren't going to be questioning that detail. This is just Dale with an idea. All Dale's looking for.
I'll get a hoot if there's a assessment.
Sure.
On to them for this.
Yes, you better.
So then they're going to say, wait a minute.
They'll wake up.
Right.
But let's say, all the roads on this ranch, it's a development, they're all paved, aren't they? I had people up there yesterday. They were horrified because they thought the roads were all improved.
Most of our roads are not all improved. That
is true. So on roads, we say to improve, manage, and maintain roads right of way, road signage, collaborate with the road management plans with the government agency. What government? I don't think any government agency. Or the neighboring properties. We're talking about culverts, gravel, cinders, drainage, what it looks like before, what it looks like after, and a guess of $60,000. Now that's a lot better than saying to a guy in L.A.,
so you're going to grab a road up to my place for $60,000? I really doubt that.
Yeah, we're
going to have a pipeline for $60,000.
If this were to be, then the budget, then the board
would say, I'm going to see the road going by my place looking like that road. That's not going to happen.
So the board then at least has a target of how do I raise the $60,000 and where do I put it?
There's a lot of roads. You even go to all the association areas, like going up through Meadow Canyon.
You know, except that there's a problem now. It's hard enough to get seven people on the same board, and on the same idea, as it is to get 300 people on the same idea. And you're never going to get the surveys back, because the only people who give a hoot are the people either who live here or that access it all the time. Therefore, if they give you input, that would be more likely a local situation. What will happen is you'll make a decision, you'll build the road, you'll build the fence, you'll put the cattle in, you'll take the cattle off. Somebody's going to yell. Every single time you do something, somebody's going to yell. We just have to realize that that's going to happen. So if they scream loud enough, then I guess we go, oh, whoops, we screwed it up. But the board better make a decision.
It's not a matter of screwing it up. The board is going to make some very, very hard decisions.
That's true.
We've given them some guidance. But if we should send out next month, 2 months from now, a thing for assessing everybody $2,000.
Well, we already know that's not going to fly.
Well, who's going to pay for the insurance?
That's right.
Good if everybody else does it.
I think
we prepare the budget first and see what's going on with the budget and what each budget item allows, like we've always done.
Yeah, I don't think we should be spending money before we know what we have yet.
Yeah, I think we need to find out.
Who's spending any money?
He just has one suggestion.
Who's spending any
money? No one's spending money.
But before the budget can be put together,
and the idea would be the last 3 years of the
amount. Cut back some other areas or find more money.
How? Hey, Vance, are you trying to talk?
Yeah.
Oh, Vance wants to talk.
I have a couple
things I'd love to say
about this.
Okay. All right.
Can everybody hear me okay?
No, we can't barely hear you at all.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Okay, that's as high as it goes. Go ahead, Dan.
We're in the middle of doing a newsletter right now. They see me. You guys got an email on it about a week ago. I'm not even seeing you on this one.
I hear it.
I don't know about GPL.
There you go. Better. Wherever they do them, it goes better.
Okay.
We can put a link in an article in a newsletter pointing to Dale's presentation and let people know that there was a piece of it that they needed to respond to. That was never clear. All right. I saw the question here, looked at the question, and didn't know that I was supposed to respond to it, for instance. I had the questions that were there, and they're good questions. But we didn't take it in to make it clear that we would like a response to this. It wasn't. Unfortunately, they let me go out just kind of like out there. So, unless you can see that, I can work with you on redoing that little piece so that it looks more like a questionnaire that people should fill out rather than just a PowerPoint page, okay?
Make it so that it's a mandatory. In lieu of possible raising in your assessment, you need to fill this out and return this questionnaire immediately.
Well, that's just going to generate a whole bunch of unnecessary traffic about people going, what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, point number two. We did this less than a year ago and got a response. The responses are up on the website. They terribly ran the thing. And I've variously heard that that's no longer valid. But if you dump another one on people right away, the response rate is probably going to be, I did this last year, and they're not going to do it. Okay?
They're totally different questions, however.
Yeah, well, that's true. But they're not going to look much further than the first couple of questions. That's why we need to structure it such that it isn't just the PowerPoint page that they're looking at. And if we're going to do this again, we need to get useful information out of it. And like I say, the newsletter is not finalized yet. We'd like to get it done as quickly as possible, but that's the best way to let the entire membership know. Okay, it's on the website, but whether they're going there and looking at it, I don't know.
But we don't need more.
We had 40-50 people at the annual meeting, and there's another 200 out there that just don't know anything about this necessarily. They don't go to the site and look at it.
We only get 30% of the membership to even vote. And so,
rather than put something in the newsletter, and people will know about it, and more people will know about it, and then they'll also know that it's more than just an exercise in me learning how to use PowerPoint and throwing a few broad questions out there. It's something we'd actually like a response on. Does that sound reasonable? Can we do that? And not worry too much about it. Because I know you guys are at the end of the meeting, and probably all got other things you want to do, and we can get locked down in this for the rest of the day.
I think that's a good suggestion, Vance. This was worked on. It is serious business. It's practical. And I think the board needs to know whether members want to spend $100,000 improving the cabins or $10,000 or none. Yeah. I think the members need an opportunity to communicate to the board before they make the budget for next year in anticipation of forget a master plan or forget agriculture. I think that our members deserve some easy way to communicate because they're absentee owners. Many of them have not been to the ranch in years. Many of them have got a clue as to what a cattle ranch does or doesn't. And so my preparation was to try and help them at least have some simple foundation on which they could let the board know, hey, this is kind of the way we would like for you to represent us. And I think there's an obligation if a person does not send something in, they can gripe and scream and criticize the board for what they did. I'd like to just say, hey, your lot number is lot number 62. In fact, why didn't you send in a questionnaire so that we knew in advance what you wanted instead of all this whining and griping after we've gone ahead and formulated a budget that now you're saying drop dead.
Exactly.
Well, we need to tell them what the budget is right now. And let them compare and say, how much more do you think we ought to spend on these other areas?
And the other thing is, you're going to hold somebody for not responding to an email or a flyer that you can't be sure they got. It's like jury duty. So until you can verify that somebody got the letter, because if you're going to do an email, I know a lot of the lots don't have email. So you can't hold it against them for not responding. I don't think you can do that at all.
That's okay.
So you can't hold it against them. That's fine. No, a newsletter is not a required reading.
The thing is right now, we have one third of the people responding to anything, even going ahead, and half of the responses come from one person.
Okay.
So, we're taking a vote on this? Well, we know where this is going to go.
No. Okay. And that's fine. But the other thing is, as a board, we're going to take in what the people say off a letter the board didn't write.
Exactly. And that was one of the first things you said when you got through the presentation. This is not board supported. This is not family supported.
So
this is Dale's presentation.
I can't go with anything. I listened to your brief, to your PowerPoint. Great. Sounds good. But I didn't go over thinking that we're going to make decisions on what people say off yours. Right off hand, I don't like the dollar thing because they don't know what we spend now. They don't have any idea what our budget is. They don't know we're in their rears already, or almost, or could be, scheduled to be. So I don't think guiding them with dollars is at all the most unbiased way to go. I think a percentage, tell me your top five subjects that you want to address. And because the board has not approved that as something that we can vote on or guide our decisions on.
I agree. I'd sure like some backup numbers if we are to go to
vote. Yeah, if the board chooses numbers, I want to know what we spend on that category now.
Well, we haven't any budget.
But I didn't know this was going to be brought up, that the people were going to vote on.
Again, this is not on the agenda today. It was on the agenda last month. So
in my PowerPoint, that was on its own time. Yeah, we sat most of the time. But it needs to be stated it is not a board approved their own stories, but I would like to drop all the pages with the numbers on it, the page with the numbers on it, and just let people fill in their own numbers. In there that this is a separate survey, a different one. It is all new items. Say these numbers that are brought forward are just items of somebody's thought and guesstimate. Please include please include where do you want the ranch to go? Where do you want to see it excel?
Very late, but
I mean, I think there's a middle of the road here. I'm listening to the conversation, and I do understand everybody's point of view. But I do think more people should have input into the budget process every year. It's been kind of sparse, you know?
You bet. That's why I put this together. And if they can read, it says, I want you to know this is not endorsed by the family or the board. It's my ideas, because I know what some of the requirements are to maintain the property, and it's not a walk in the park. There's a lot of responsibilities, and I think our members need to know the truth, and they need to have opportunity to tell us what they would like to do and pay for.
Okay. It's their money. That would be a couple paragraphs, or even not even for the newsletter, or something like what you just said, Dale.
Well, that's already on the PowerPoint.
Any member can write a newsletter article, and I've tried to make that clear in the past. If you're a member, you can write another slew of newsletter articles that will point people, you know, provide a link to the media, and you can outline, you know, what you just said, that we need some input from you guys. And it'll go in there. It'll go out. Now, newsletters go out to everybody. For people we don't have email, they get paper copies. So this is the best way to get to the maximum amount of people possible.
Okay. And you're going to put the total PowerPoint is going to be on the internet, isn't it?
It already is. I send out notifications to the user groups, you know, right after you send it to me that very same day.
So
it's been up there since then. It isn't clear if they have concerns that you wanted a response to those questions. It was just another page in the PowerPoint. Now, those of us who were at the meeting had a little bit more of an understanding, and that was what you wanted, but nobody else does. So just do it again. Well, there's this 202 over here. Let's get people to look at it and respond, you know.
And ask them to respond before next meeting.
Well, that's going to be my other point. We're talking about short list here now.
Mm-hmm. I have one
more notice. We may want to, and I know that everybody thinks that what they currently did is now invalid, but we may want to look at some of that because we already have it.
True.
You know, maybe we can blend these things. Maybe, you know, I don't know. This is kind of a board thing. I'm just throwing ideas out there for you guys.
Well, when we go over the last 3 years of budget items on the P&L and then take a look at Dave Turley's response he got and see where members put the most importance, and now we'll kind of list our priorities.
Yeah, you can tell everybody about Dale's thoughts as Dale, you know, from the annual meeting are available on the website. Definitely worth a look, and we want to hear from you.
Okay, good.
That was the intent. Sounds good.
Thanks.
Okay. I have motion we adjourn.
One more item.
Yes, sir.
Okay, they're talking about we're going to have the cattle drive the first week of November, which is either the October 31st, but we'll have to put that on the website. Because we don't know the exact day yet because of the weather.
Okay.
Anybody want to know the cattle
drive? You're talking about because, you know, I don't remember so much.
Why?
The cattle drive?
Okay, cattle drive. First week in November, we'll have to let them know the exact day.
I'm sitting here with notes all over my desk right now.
And
a car battery running my car, my cell phone, because we lost the connection.
Okay.
Just send me a quick email.
Okay, got it. Thanks, Dan.
I make a motion we adjourn.
I second.